Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm here, man. Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press. The remix fresh with no prior song. Oh. Surprise y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To give a piece to the feet, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is frank and flavorful. Insatiable eardrums taste the radio. It can't be beat. The clash with me. Better leave all your doors and all half the week.
What?
Positive and motivational track to see successful guests. Promote yourself, mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/The remix Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Everyone, I want to say welcome to the remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and of course, you know where you are. You are live in the remix. I want to say welcome to all of you out there listening, no matter where in the world you're listening from. I want to welcome you here to the remix tonight. It is January the 25th, 2013, for most of us, and it's Friday night, and you're live in the house, of course, with me, your host, Miss Blue, and the whole Remix family. So peace and greetings to you guys out there. It is so good to see everyone in the house tonight. I see the chat room is filling up, as well as the phone line. So I do want to welcome you all here to the share tonight. Now, first of all, let me go ahead and give out some directions. So for those of you who want to come on over and join us in the chat room, you are certainly more than welcome to do that. The Remix family is going to make you feel right at home. And so let me go ahead and give you some galactic directions so you can get yourself on over here. All you have to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the remix, all one word, and just come on in. If you're a guest and you're joining us for the very first time, welcome. It's so good to have you guys in the house tonight. I know that we have a lot of new listeners out there listening from all of the continents, all four corners of the world and beyond. And so I just want to welcome you guys here listening tonight. Now, what you can do is you can actually go ahead and click the link at the very bottom that says sign up. And so you can come inside the chat room, tell us who you are, and the Remix family will make you feel right at home. So again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Remix, all one word, is how you're going to get yourself in and come on over and join us here in the forum tonight. Now, you are certainly more than willing to come and join us also on the phone line. And also for you to do that, too, all you have to do is call 646-652-2711 is the number to call. That's going to get you on the phone lines on the Remix. Or if you're an international caller and you're out there, call the U.S. country code 011 and the U.S. country code dial 646-652-2711, and that'll get you in. Or you can actually use Skype, and you can Skype right on in. And you can listen via the form. Welcome, everyone out there. I want to start giving out some international shout-outs because I know it is a challenge for our brothers and sisters all over the world who are listening via international to come on over and join us in the form. So let's go ahead and give some shout-out. First of all, big shout-out to the Brother Mark, who's in Japan, and the whole Japan family who's out there listening. Good to have you guys on board with us, as well as the big listening audience that's over there in the UK. Much love to all the brothers and sisters all across the UK listening. Canada. We also have Brazil in the house. We have Belize in the house tonight. We also have listeners who are listening from Australia in the house tonight, all parts of Africa, Mauritania. We have some listening audience from Kenya, some listening audience too, and some other parts of Africa, shame to say, I can't even pronounce the country they're listening from, but we know you guys are out there, and we know you're listening, and it's so good to have you guys in the forum and have you guys listening as well, too, as well as everybody who's listening here from the U.S., all of the states from all over, listening here. What an amazing share we're going to have tonight. Joining us in the forum, and I'm going to go over this, is the brother, Ra Diva, who's going to be joining us. He's not a stranger to the remix. He's joined us before, and he will be here tonight. And so you guys are in for a really, really good treat tonight. You definitely want to get yourself in position so that you can hear that. Now, here's what I want to tell you. You know that all of the shows, every single show that we do here on the remix is archived. And so you can actually go back and you can listen to the show. Listen to the show live, or you can download the show and you can listen. So let's talk about all of those ways that you can listen, because there's so many different ways that you can listen. You can actually come over to the Remix family page here, the Remix page, and you can download. You can download it. You can download it straight to your computer, or you can download the show and just listen from your computer. If you have an MP3 device, you can download it to that as well. And the cool thing is there is an iTunes button, a purple iTunes button that's on the Remix page. You can click that, and for all of your iTunes devices that you have that supports iTunes, and you can download it that way. All of the shows are there. You can go back for years and years and years and years, and I can probably keep going for a couple more years. But all of those shows are there. So all of the great family members who come on the Remix and share all of their knowledge, information, wisdom, magic, and all of those things, right here you can download and you can listen to those shows. So don't forget to download. That's always important to do. The other thing I want to talk to you guys about really, really quick. Oh, my goodness. We are almost at the end of January already. Can you believe that? We are already in 2013. And I told you guys we'd be doing some new things in 2013. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about some shows coming up. Now, I'm going to kind of get this lineup together because I have a powerful lineup. You talk about getting yourself in alignment, a powerful lineup of sisters and brothers who's going to be coming on the platform. I'm in the process of connecting with them now. So you definitely want to stay tuned. Some who've been on the platform before and others, this will be their very first time coming to share with us in the Remix family. And boy, am I excited about that. I am really, really excited about that. I wanted to say peace and greetings to all of you out there. All of you out there listening, it's so good to connect with you. I couldn't wait for Friday. It's been one of those weeks for me. You know, a lot of activity going on, a lot of energy in the air, which is a good thing, you know what I mean? This is really all about change. It's about growth. And really, it's all about love, because that's the only thing that is real is love. And boy, 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 are we all being tested on this energy of love. So we're going to do something a little different here tonight because it's so much that is going on. I want to say thank you to each and every one of you. The readings have been completely off the chain this week. I've been talking to Sister Manya as well as even speaking with Esther and just kind of sharing some of the things about the readings and the sessions. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They have been really, really off the hook this week, and so much insight. So much wisdom, so much knowledge, just so many things coming online. And I know that that's true for you, magic makers of 2013 out there, of the Remix family, for you guys as well, too. So we'll get to talk about all of that. But we're going to do a really cool exercise before we get ready to bring the brother on. Don't forget, if you missed the shows last week with Brother Panic, he did Friday and Sunday. Don't forget to go back and download. As you can do with all of the Remix shows there to download. Peace and love to each and every one of you guys out there. It's so good to feel your energy and to have you guys in this space at this particular time. So tonight, it's some serious business going on. It's some serious business going on. Brother Ra Diva is going to be here talking about the double-edged swords of consciousness, yeah, and the lightning power of your spirit. And one of the other things that's going to happen as well is Brother Ragiza is going to be doing some coaching tonight. And we're going to be doing coaching actually together. So he's going to be coaching, and I'm going to do a little bit of my coaching, which is what I do in the sacred session for those of you who have had the sacred session. So we're going to get into some real psycho, sexy, cool kind of way of just kind of letting this energy flow. This brother brings pure fire, pure knowledge, and he speaks directly from his heart. So it's going to be a great chair, and I'm excited. I know you guys are too. We're going to listen to a little bit of Baby Blue because that's what we do on the remix. We're going to do that, and then we're going to get ready to get this show kicked off the way that we need to get it kicked off. So many new things to come, and we'll be talking about that. Oh, my goodness. And also, I just kind of want to give you guys a heads up. Sunday night, we're going to start sort of a little series that I've been working on called The Origin. So you definitely want to make sure that you lock it in for Sunday night. Origin. It's here. It's been here for a minute, but we're getting ready to just bust it wide open. So that's going to be a very special treat for you guys. Also, I feel like there's so many things I need to tell you guys that I haven't got to. I want to say thank you to everyone who has purchased the Know Your Magic audio workbook. For those of you who want to get into knowing your magic in a psycho, sexy, cool kind of way, and all you have to do is go to www.nsblueblast.com. That's all you have to do. Go there. You can download it. You can get it right away. And many of you have. I'm going to be doing a special call for that. I just don't have a date yet, you guys. A lot of things going on in my world. A lot of things going on in your world. But we're going to do it. We're going to put it out there. We're sending the energy out there. So for everyone who has the audio workbook, there'll be a call just for you. And for those of you who have been on those calls, you know we really get it in. Magic making to a whole new level. And then also for those of you who have ordered your Know Your Magic Oracle psychic cards to keep your energy current, to really keep you in alignment. I've been talking to sisters and brothers all over, and they have definitely all been using the Know Your Magic Oracle deck and getting some great results. And you can go over and read what everyone has to say, www.missblueblast.com/cards, C-A-R-D-S, all one word. And you can look at all of the testimonies of everyone out there. So peace and greetings to you guys. Welcome to the remix tonight. We're going to listen to a little bit of Baby Blue. We're going to get ready to welcome the brother Rob Giver. Woo-hoo! I see you guys on the phone lines tonight, boy. We're going to welcome brother Rob Giver to the forum tonight. We're going to start to get right into the share. We're going to do a little meditation, sort of an alignment meditation, before we get started, just so we can get into this energy. You know, January, this vibration that's going on at this particular time in January is a very unique vibration, and many of you have been feeling it, you know, because we have our own energetic fields. You know, this is something Brother Bilal speaks about when he comes on the remix. And our electromagnetic field that we have is attuned to us. It's attuned to our ancient patterns that we have with ourselves and our ancient records. But everything else that is around us is attuned to the planet, the cosmos, and the universe. And so what is happening in this time is we're sort of kind of doing that dance where we're aligning these two energies up with each other. And we're aligning these two energies up with each other. So let me tell you guys, tonight, this is all about getting ready to step into that energy of bringing the mind and the heart into sync with each other, having these two make a very, very cosmic connection to come together. You know, it's almost like slow dancing with somebody. Y'all remember when we used to slow dance? Do people even slow dance anymore? But anyway, it's about like slow dancing with yourself and bringing these two into complete harmony with each other. And so we're going to be talking about doing that. This is what the exercise is. So I'm excited. We're going to do that before we bring Brother Ragiza on so we're in the right energy so that we can receive this and just really just kind of allow this energy to flow. And so it's just amazing, you guys. I love you guys so much, and I'm so glad that we're here, and it's Friday night, so let's listen to a little bit of Baby Blue.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue, and remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right, all right. I have a funny story to tell you guys about Baby Blue and something I had to apologize for, but we'll talk about that on Sunday. We'll talk about that on Sunday night. So now, here's what I want you guys to do. Get yourself situated, and I want you to get in a nice, comfortable position with your feet planted firmly on the ground. That's right, Magic Makers, Remix 2013. We're going to get it in. So I want you to place your feet firmly on the ground, and if you're sitting up in a chair, this is a good position to do it. I know some of you are laying down, and that's certainly fine. If you want to chill, you can go ahead and lay down. That's fine, too. But if you're sitting up, sit up straight. Make sure nothing is binding you. Sisters, you know, you may want to kind of loosen some things up. Brothers, you know, you too. You may want to, you know, kind of just make yourself feel good, as Jay Electronica would say. I want you to just kind of get yourself in a nice, comfortable position so we can get ready to get in. Here we go. Let's go. Let's get it.
All right, magic makers out there. All right, it's me, Miss Blue. And listen, I wanted to do something a little different. As you guys know, it's 2013. And so, you know, this year, the remix is going to take sort of a, I guess you can say it, we're going to kind of bump it up a little notch. You know, we're going to take that vibe and we're going to raise it up. And so, here's what I want to do before we actually get ready to get into the share. We're actually going to do a little bit of balancing. And let me tell you why. Here's one of the reasons why we're going to be doing this. All this week, and in the readings, I've been meeting with you guys one-on-one in our personal sacred spaces coming together. So whether you were getting an Akashic record reading to find out about you in a past life and some of these ancient patterns that you have that sometimes we keep doing over and over again, or just to find out about if you're on the right road to your purpose and what you came to the planet to do, or maybe for those of you who got the sacred session and you just kind of wanted to know like where you are now. You know, the sacred session is kind of where the past, the present, and the future all come together, because it really is just about that vibration. Or if you have the God Goddess numeric Akashic record reading, where you just get all of the things that go into your magical toolbox to really help you continue on your path and your journey. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. Well, I have certainly loved connecting with you guys in all of the sessions that I do this week. It has been a true joy to connect with you, meeting you from all over the world. So, you know, one of the things that I often talk about in the sessions, because we have real talk too, you know, is what's the weather like where you are? You know, many of you expressed that it was extremely cold where you were. There was snow. Some of you told me how hot and sunny it was, just depending on what continent you're at and what part of the world. So whether you're coming off the continent of Africa, if you're coming from Australia, if you were in China, if you were somewhere in the UK or Canada, or maybe you're somewhere here in America, we are all experiencing the elements. And we know that we're made up of the elements, and we're experiencing these elements in so many different ways. So, tonight, here's what we're going to be doing. We're really just going to be balancing the elements within our body. As above, so below. So we know it's like crazy things going on out there in the universe with the elements. So you got to know that this is a good time to really kind of get yourself in a place where you can be very, very balanced with your elements. So here we go. It's going to be really, really quick, and all you have to do is follow along. So the first thing that I want you to do is to get yourself in a very comfortable position. Comfortable position. And we're going to be breathing through one of the largest organs in our body. So we're going to be using the largest organ in our body. That's going to be your skin. And we're actually going to be breathing through our pores. How cool is that? So we're going to be breathing through our pores in our body. And bringing in some of these things and releasing a lot of this energy from us. So, you know, some of you have been at work all week. Some of you are just coming home from work. Some of you are still at work right now. Some of you do all kinds of things. And I have met doctors this week, lawyers. I've met producers. I've met artists. I've talked to mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and grandmothers and grandfathers and even great-great-great-grandfathers. So it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you've done. This is going to be really, really good to just get you in that energy, because we have this energy coming up over the next couple of days. And you may be finding that this sort of kind of this conflict that's trying to get a resolution is happening between your mind and your heart. Well, this is a great time to get in alignment so you can begin to bring these things into complete harmony. Because after all, the only thing that is real is love. So, let's get ready to begin. Here we go. All right, nothing but positive vibes. So here we go. I want you to relax. Just kind of relax, you know. Put your feet flat on the ground and sit up nice and straight and relax. Now, one of the things to know that when you begin to breathe, and we're going to be breathing through our pores, is your pores is like an antenna, and we take in a lot of things through the pores, through our skin, in our body. And that rhythm is much, much faster than your normal breath. But it's okay, because we're going to bring those two into harmony. Just like we talked about the mind and the heart, we're going to bring the harmony of how you take in things through your pores, how you breathe through your pores, and how you actually breathe through your mouth and your nose. We're going to synchronize these two rhythms. So these two vibes are going to just kind of be riding together, you know? So we're not killing no vibes here. No killing vibes. We're just going to make them just kind of rhyme together. So here's what we're going to do. First, I want you to breathe, and you're going to be breathing at a much faster pace, but I really want you to visualize you taking in all of this, because the pulse of your pores is so much faster. So in the beginning, I want you to breathe in, out, out. Excellent. In, out. Now slow it down. There you go. In, out. Get into your natural rhythm of breathing now. There you go. Slow it back down. There you go. Excellent. So now everything is harmonized with each other. We're going to start breathing in these elements. And the element, first element that you're going to breathe in is earth, because earth energy heals us. And so from the base of your feet, through the pores of the base of your feet, I want you to begin to breathe in the earth. Breathe in the earth, and I want you to pull all of that earth energy all the way up until the base of your spine. That's it. Nice and slow. Pull it in. All earth energy. This is healing. Pull this in and fill up that part of your body with earth. Now, when the lower part of your body is all filled up with earth, we're going to go to the middle part. So this is going to be about the base of your spine all the way up to your rib cage, and then all the way through your whole abdominal region. We're going to be pulling in water. So I want you to imagine taking in water through your pores. That's it. Breathe in that water through your pores and fill up all of that whole midsection, your abdomen and everything. Feel the coolness as it begins to come in. And you'll be able to tell the difference between the lower half of your body and the upper half of your body. And so now we're going to continue to go up to our chest, our arms, and all the way up to your throat. And here, you're going to fill it in with air. So through the pores in your skin, you're going to be breathing in air. There you go. Take in. Excellent. Yeah. that air in. Take it all in. Take all of that air in, all the way up into your throat. Excellent. Now you can tell the difference between where earth is, where the water is, and now you have the air. Excellent. Keep breathing slowly for just a moment. I want you to begin to hold this element there with you. I want you to hold that. So now, what you're going to do for the upper part, and this is all going to go all the way up into your head, you're going to breathe in fire. And so now, this is going to fill up pretty quickly for you because we know how fast fire moves. So I want you to begin to breathe in fire all the way up into your head in a slow motion. Slow motion. I want you to begin to breathe it in. Keep that vibe going. There you go. There you go. Now, here's what I want you to do. Hold it. That's it. Hold it. Breathe in nice and slow, but hold all of these elements. Know the earth. Where earth is, see the water, and then the air, and now the fire. Hold it. Know that all of these elements are working to balance out your bodies, all of the elements that are within you. Excellent. Excellent. Take a nice deep breath. Take it in. Take it in. There you go. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Excellent. Hold it. Now, slowly, slowly, release. Excellent. Yes. Release. Release. Yes. Begin to release. First, I want you to release from your head. That's it. Release the fire from your head. And it's important that you release all of these elements from yourself. So release fire. See the fire leaving you. Excellent. And so now you're going to go down to your torso area from your throat. You're going to release from your upper torso air. There you go. Release the air from out of your abdomen region. And then after you release the air, you're going to release the water. That's it. All of the water. Feel it running out of you, running out of your pores, running out of you. All of the water. And then from your lower body, release earth. Excellent. Excellent. Now that you have released all of these elements from your body, you are in complete alignment. Now, that's it. I want you to now take your attention from the elements, and I want you to breathe normally. Yes. And I want you to begin to feel the vibe as everything has synchronized itself within your body and how it's all flowing together. I want you to feel it. There you go. Excellent. This is going to bring your mind and your heart all together for you. It is synchronizing these elements. Yes. Excellent. Well, I just kind of wanted to give that to you guys. It's an excellent exercise. I actually got it out of a book a few years ago. So that was sort of my interpretation, Miss Blue, of how you can begin to take in all of the elements, balance them out within yourself, and just have some amazing magical shit happen. 'Cause that's what happened. Yeah, wonderful. All right, you guys. There you go. Don't kill the vibe. Peace and love.
All right, you guys. There you go. A great way to just balance out the elements and really just to get us in a great position as we get ready to welcome Brother Ra Giva as he joins us here tonight live in the remix in the form. Here for everyone. Later on tonight in the show, Brother Ra Giva will also be taking your calls as well as myself here. What you heard in the background, you guys, that was Kendrick Lamar and Don't Kill My Vibe. So just sort of the instrumental to that. And I see you guys saying that that was making you feel really, really good. It's an excellent way to ground yourself. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed that. So here we go, the double-edged sword of consciousness, as we get ready to welcome here to the forum, Brother Ra Giva, as he's joining us. Peace and greetings.
Peace and greetings, everybody.
Welcome, Brother Rogula.
I am so glad to be back on the remix. Glad to be alive and kicking and in this thing called life. Good thing to be here.
Well, it is so good to have you here on the platform and have you come back and share with us again. I know the last time you were here, it was an amazing share, and everyone enjoyed it and wanted to know, when is Brother Rogula coming back? And so it's good to have you in the platform, and it's good to have you here tonight. I know we have a lot of things that you want to talk to us about and that you want to cover that we're going to start. First, I want you to start out, for those who may be new and may not be familiar with you and your work that you've been doing all over the world, to tell us a little bit about Brother Rogula and sort of the work that you do.
Okay, well, you know, just starting off, you know, I've been doing this work for maybe about 27 years. Been doing it mostly outside of the camera because, you know, as we were told, the revolution or the evolution would not be televised.
Right.
So there's some things that we have to do for ourselves and for one another that we're not going to get, it's not going to be seen on CNN. So we've been doing some quiet stuff, but we've been working as teams, to be honest with you. Myself and a group of brothers and sisters out of New Orleans, and Brother Bilal is one of those brothers, Brother Jafar.
Yes.
My mentor and teacher, Brother Wali Muhammad. Those are people who I've been working with for the past 20 years or so, building and really going into what I consider in some cases the depths of hell to get a good understanding of how to set people free. Set people free in their minds, set them free in their spirit so they can be one with their heart again, which I believe is the total journey. So what I do, basically, I call what I do a destiny coaching. And the idea is to help remind you of what you already know but have forgotten to explode into your destiny, because it is my belief and my philosophy that we are all like the seed. We are all fully equipped with what we need to explode into who we are. We just need to remember how to use what we already have and realign with that thing inside of ourselves that gives us the direction to be on time all the time and to be in harmony with the whole entire design, which is the whole universe itself. So tonight, I guess what I want to talk about is the totality of what the idea of consciousness is and the two sides of that consciousness, and what the problem is with the subject, and what the solution is, and what it's going to take for us to get into liberation.
Yeah, well, beautiful. Because let's start out by talking about consciousness. You know, it is so many different definitions out there about what consciousness is. And so, Rogula, if you could just explain to everyone what consciousness is to you and how you've seen that in your work and all the brothers and sisters that you've been working with.
Well, throughout my 27 years of work, you know, and I don't say all that, you know, that I've been working 27 years to make me sound like I'm so this and that. It's been 27 years of struggle, 27 years of pain, 27 years of sometimes a lot of mistakes, and 27 years of wishing I could get out and do something else, but can't because
right.
It's too late. You ended already. You know, so it's 27 years of hard knocks, but full of love to get to what
right.
we've gotten to. So what I've seen consciousness down the road, as I walk down the road, I've seen it in different ways. I've seen it in people expressing that they have a certain amount of knowledge and they are awakened to maybe like the history of our ancestors, and they know the history of our ancient Egyptians and the Nubians
right.
and, you know, the land of Kemet. And so they are awakened to that information, that knowledge. And then I've seen consciousness whereby, you know, people are aware of themselves and they are beginning to understand what they want and what they desire from life and aspiring to want to explode into their destiny. And then
right.
I've seen, you know, the consciousness that's just about intellect and the idea of ego, and I know something that you don't know, and I'm going to prove to you that I know something that you don't. I've seen that. And then as I've gotten wiser and realized that all that I thought I knew, I didn't know anything at all, that I really began to understand a higher level of consciousness. And that's the idea that, you know, consciousness really is us being fully alive and fully connected to all life in the universe, all life around us, and having a real connection with that life such that we feel obligated to care for the lives that are connected to our life.
Yeah.
And it causes us to behave and treat each other at a higher level than we ever have before once we elevate into that consciousness, what some people refer to as enlightenment. And it's beyond knowledge. It's beyond you knowing something in your mind. It's about the essence of who you are from the very beginning, that you didn't need to learn anything in this world to be able to get into this harmony. You were born into this harmony and were taught out of it.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is returning back to what we already started off in to get back in harmony with the original blueprint of our life. And so when I look at consciousness, I look at it now from that standpoint of being connected to people and having enough balls to care about people, even though some of them didn't care about me.
Right.
To continue to love, even though some of them, you know, didn't even know how to receive love, but to continue to love, to continue to go beyond where everybody else stops to reach people. You know, to allow yourself to be that alive that you would not be afraid of love. And you know, no matter how many songs they make on the radio that talks about how love don't love me and all that bullshit, that you would still have the courage to love in the spite of all of this chaotic stuff we got going on. And that, to me, is consciousness.
And so let's talk about the polarity of that. Let's talk about the double-edged sword of that. And really get into it. So we've got to see sort of this consciousness, like you said. This is the thinking, the feeling, and, you know, doing it no matter what, and, you know, being able to incorporate all of those different things that you said. But now let's talk about the flip side of that consciousness and what it really looks like, because sometimes it's not as obvious as people would think.
No, it's actually not, Ms. Blue. The reality is, if we look at the word conscious, we know that it is spelled, we have two different spellings. They are pronounced the same way, but they're spelled different. Conscious, and first, the first conscious, what we just got through talking about, is C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S, conscious, meaning of mind, having a certain knowledge base or knowing something in terms of mind. And then there's the other conscious that is spelled like conscience, C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Now, when you look up the basic definition of the prefix con, you get that there it could be one of three meanings. Con could mean an opposing reason, like, you know, you got a pro or con.
Right.
Or it could be to study carefully. Con could mean to study carefully, or it could mean to swindle or trick, like a con artist.
Yes.
Right? So now we know that it's not talking about an opposing reason or a con artist in this regard. It's talking about to study carefully. All right? So on both regards, it's telling us to study carefully the knowledge in our mind, and then in conscience is telling us to study carefully the science inside of ourselves.
Yes.
Now, there is a science inside of ourselves that is foolproof. It has been in existence since the beginning of the world, and it is built within us that if we follow it, if we tune into it, which, you know, we used to refer to it when we was growing up as, you know, songs you say, follow your, you let your conscience be your guide.
Yes.
Let the inner feelings or the inner voice within you be your guide, because it is built in ancient science. Now, this is what science is. you know, basic definition of science. It's just a, it's a systematic knowledge derived from observation. All right, it's always a systematic knowledge derived from observation. So what consciousness or science is telling us is that Kahn is saying study carefully the science within you that has been here from the beginning. And the other conscious is telling you, study carefully the knowledge in your head that you're getting from this world.
Yes.
Now, get that. We didn't come into this world to get knowledge.
No.
No. We came into this world to bring a knowledge. And what happened is we got flipped. And when we lost confidence in ourselves, we then start looking to the world to teach us back into ourselves, and the world does not have the knowledge to teach you back into yourself. You have to go back into yourself to get the knowledge of yourself. And that's where it comes from when we say conscious.
Remember.
Being
yeah.
conscience, which is the other side of the sword. Now, what happens in our life if we get if it gets cut off, if we are left just to our conscience, conscious, and we are cut off from conscience, being guided by our inner feelings and our inner voice, then we become a know-it-all without any real connection in our mind to the reality of what makes life worth living in the first place.
Let me
share with you one of my big aha moments, because, you know, I was on this journey for a very long time and I thought I had it figured out. And my ego was so damn big, you know, and your ego hides itself from you.
Oh, yeah.
Because your ego will make itself appear as though it's a victim sometimes. It will make itself appear as though it's better than other people. It will do that, and then, it, you know, and then at the same time, it will ridicule you. It will cause you to beat yourself up. All that's ego, right?
Yeah.
And it keeps you off balance so that you won't see what's really going on. But here I was, so much in my way, that when I had this the epiphany one day that I was working with a colleague, a brother of mine, his brother named very powerful, strong brother by the name of Norris Williams. And you're gonna be hearing a lot about him, you know, in the coming future, because he has a lot to share in terms of divinely inspired person. Well, you know, I woke up one morning and I said, look, I you know, my spirit had told me I needed to do 30 videos to begin to promote the message that, you know, that I was going out there and promoting. So we get up and we're going to film 30 videos, and I get on the camera and I say, well, no problem. I'm going to be able to do these 30 videos without any hitch at all, because I'm going to use the teleprompter. I'm going to do the shortcut. I'm going to do the teleprompter, and I know all I have to do is read off the teleprompter, and it won't be no problem. Nobody would know I'm reading. I'll get through these 30 videos pronto, no problem. So here I go. I get stuck on the first video. I can't get past the first video. I keep making errors. I keep making mistakes. And he's already completed 15. So I'm sitting back and I'm looking at this. You know, he's a younger brother, and I'm an older brother. And, you know, as this tends to happen, where the older brothers and older sisters see the younger brothers and younger sisters doing stuff, and it's sort of like,
right,
it like you're passing up. Then there comes the ego. The ego saying, look at you, boy. I thought you know how to do this. Look at this young cat.
Right.
You, boy.
Right.
And, you know, the ego inside gets to twinging a little bit. It's trying to. Because it wants to compete, even though you got this knowledge to say, no, I'm not going to compete, I'm not going to get in it. Here's this, you know, this little twinge. And so in that moment, in that discomfort, my heart spoke to me. And now my heart said to me, get this. Get that this don't have a damn thing to do with you. That I'm not asking you to do these videos for you. Now, at that moment, I had a big epiphany. Here was the big epiphany. That my life didn't even belong to me. That all of the talents and skills and all of the knowledge and all the stuff I've sought to learn, it was not for me. It was for those coming behind me. And that I was to get out of the damn way so I could serve those who the universe called for me to serve. Now, I've been doing this for years and years and never had got that. And I thought I was sincere. I thought I was doing it for the people. But
right,
the reality was I was all in the way. Here's how I know I was in the way. When you're in the way, you're going to have fear, doubt and disbelief that's going to pop up on a regular basis. You're going to see yourself want to compete. You're going to see yourself compare. You're going to see yourself want to please. You're going to see yourself trying to prove things. You're going to see yourself doing these five things, and that's how you know you're in the way. Because now when you're not in the way, there's no fear, there's no doubt, and there's no disbelief. Why? Because the heart don't have none of that stuff.
Right.
The heart does not carry doubt and disbelief. That's something in the mind. And when the mind is leading, the ego leads. So essentially what myself was saying, look, your life is bigger than you. Your life doesn't really belong just to you. All these talents. And I'm saying this, as I say this, I'm saying this to people that's listening right now. There's people who are gifted beyond imagination, and they have not been able to get their gift to the market like they are were designed to, because they keep putting themselves in the way, and they keep thinking that their gifts are just for them. And their gifts are not just for them. Their gifts are for their brothers and sisters and for other people who are stuck and can't get out. You have been blessed what you have been blessed with, so you can go reach and touch some people that need to be touched and be pulled out of the situations that they're in. You have been given the knowledge you have so you can sound big or look good or sound like some big hoopta or something. This is not what this is about. This is about connecting all life back to the source so we can once again experience the totality of what being fully alive really is.
Since I got that, my
life has gotten a whole other level.
Beautiful, beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing that. And I just want to add this to that, because I see a lot of this in my own personal life and also work too. This is not to be confused with that you're doing this for someone other than yourself. But the real goal here, and I'll let you speak to this as well, Brother Rob Giva, this is so this can bring you back to the point that you left, and that is to come back to the true you. Because the first law of understanding about this consciousness is that all is one. And so by you moving yourself out of the way, it doesn't mean that you don't understand that this work that you're doing, because I've come to know in my research and work, and I know you can speak on this too, is that the work that we want to do so much for everyone else is truly the work we must learn for ourselves.
Yes.
So ultimately, you get to share what you need the most.
You know what? That's so on point, because you know, if you look at your career, you know, and I'm talking to everybody out there, if you look at your career and you know, like I know people who have been attracted to, like, working with people in substance abuse and working with kids who maybe have, you know, difficulties or, you know, they are delinquent or any field that you found yourself drawn in. And sometimes we think that we are drawn to that field to help other people, which is true. But in most cases, we are drawn to the other field because there's something inside of our life cycle that we need to work on to, you know, to solve and bring into harmony in order so that we can really serve on a higher level. So we're always working on ourselves. And the thing is, for me, what happened was when it finally dawned on me that if I really put the mission, if I submitted to the mission wholeheartedly, it would take care of me. I was so worried about doing it right that I wasn't doing it at all.
So let me ask you this. When you say being fully committed and fully engulfed in, explain that a little bit more. Because I think sometimes when we think about being fully committed, that really doesn't go to the depth of, because you're speaking more from a soul level.
Right. What I mean when I say fully committed is that you don't come up with excuses within your own self. In your thinking, in your conversation with yourself, there are no excuses that you will allow yourself to make to get up and go do what you got to go do.
That's right.
So when I say that, you know, I was no longer in my way, that means in my head, there were no more conversations about what I was doing wrong, why I wasn't doing it right, why I wasn't going to succeed. All that was moved out of the way. And the reason why it was, not because I was some genius or something, is because I did one magical thing, and that was I submitted to my heart. And when I submitted to my heart took the lead, and my mind got back in the back seat where it's supposed to be. For years, my mind was driving the car, and it was acting like it knew where it was going, but it didn't.
But it didn't. I think we've all been there.
Exactly. And that's what the mind does. The mind acts like it knows where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the mind is an interpreter and a duplicator. And if you notice something, all the mind does is duplicate what already has happened already. So you'll keep seeing, you'll know just your mind and your ego is leading the way when you find yourself repeating the same cycles over and over and over again.
Yes.
That's the mind.
Right. The mind keeps you locked into ancestral patterns. And I say this for those of you who have had Akashic Record readings from me. And that's the number one thing that I try to shift you out of that space so that you can begin to see. The mind is ancestral patterns. The minds are traditions. Traditions.
Yeah.
When you start to talk about things that are a part of your tradition, also know that that is also governed by the mind. Governed by the mind. Yeah.
It is. And when I work with people, one of the first things I ask them is to give me their take on what the mind is. And most people have a vague understanding what the mind is. And so what I do at that point is then ask them to describe for me what thinking is. And then most people try to get deep and they try to prove how smart they are. And so they start talking about about processing and, problem solving, which is true and correct. But I'm looking for the more cornbread, like my daddy would say, give me a cornbread definition of what you're doing when you're thinking. And what you find out is that when you're thinking, the cornbread definition of thinking is you are simply having a damn conversation with yourself. You're talking to yourself.
Which is nothing wrong with that to some degree.
No,
that can be actually powerful. But I understand.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Here's where I know it gets a little tricky, if you can speak on this. How does the sword cut us? And also talk about how the sword can also kill us.
Okay, that's what I'm getting ready to go to when I talk about thinking, because I need people to really get this, that you're having a conversation with yourself when you're thinking and you're asking yourself questions. Basically, it's a question-led conversation you're having with yourself, which is what we call thinking. And you are asking yourself either resourceful questions or non-resourceful questions. Now, a resourceful question is a question that creates opportunities that you don't presently have right now. A non-resourceful question is a question you ask yourself that keeps you in the same rut. Most of us have been trained and educated on how to ask non-resourceful questions, so we keep asking the same damn questions over and over again. And usually that question is, what's wrong with me? Why me, Lord? Why do I keep... See, those are non-resourceful questions because we've been trained to do that, all right? So that becomes the part of the sword that constantly cuts us. But this is how it cuts us. It cuts us in our internal communication. See, this is what we do. We are great at fronting, like we got everything going on in front of people. But meanwhile, there is a conversation going on inside our head that's ripping our air support.
Right.
And that conversation that we're having with ourselves does not at all support the life we want to live.
That's right.
It does not support us being courageous enough to love, care for the people in our life. It does not support us being as big as we can be. So it's cutting our life in half. It's cutting our lifespan. It's cutting our enjoyment. It's cutting us off from the things that really matter most. And here's the result of that knife cutting. You start getting numb. You start getting cynical. You start getting resigned. And now you're indifferent to life. Shit don't matter to you like it used to matter. You know, and it starts occurring to you like this is just how it is. Now, I got you. They got you now. Because now you have been cut off. So that's that part of the sword that cuts you. But I want people to know how the cutting takes place. The cutting is taking place through a conversation that you're having with yourself. That's all thinking is. So when we start talking about the mind, we're actually talking about that apparatus, that unseen apparatus within ourselves that is in charge of communication. Now,
right.
If you look at look at everything going on in the world, everything is moving based on communication. Nothing moves unless something has communicated from the inside out,
right,
telling it to move.
Right.
So the mind is in charge of that. That's on a certain level. That's what we call consciousness. Consciousness is us being aware of the communication inside of us that's
right,
causing us to do what we do.
Give us an example of that. Give us an example of that.
Okay. A good example would be, you know, you've been looking for a job, all right? You've been looking for a job. You finally get that call for the interview. Before you go to interview, you know, you sit down with yourself and you're saying to yourself, man, I'm not going to get that job. Damn, I know I ain't going to get that job. You know, they say they have such and such qualifications. I barely have these qualifications. So now you're talking to yourself and you're telling yourself you're not going to get the job. You know you're not qualified for the job. All this other stuff was what you're telling yourself, all right? All right, so because I use like real life examples because I had a girlfriend, for example, in that same situation, called in for an interview because she had been having these conversations with herself that were demoralizing and put her down and made her think that she was not worthy, she was not this and she was not that. When she went in for the job interview, they hired her in spite of that, right? But here's where the kicker, here's where the sword cut her at. They asked her a question. They said, well, how much you'd be willing to do the job for? And she told them the rock bottom price, which is like at that time $25,000-$30,000. I can't remember. All right, that's what she told them, and they immediately hired her on the spot. Now she is qualified to making $60,000 a year in that position, but she took it for $30,000 because she had already been cutting herself up, so in her head, so she wasn't that valuable to herself. So now when she took the job, the first month on the job, she's in the coffee room. They're having a conversation with coworkers, and they're talking about the idea of when they were interviewed and hired, how much did the guy offer them, right? So
right.
Everybody else, and it's just a natural conversation, said, yeah, when he asked me, you know, how much I'd do the job for, I told him 60. So she looks at them and said, and what did he say? They paid me 60. So her mouth is sitting wide open. Everybody in that room in the same position was paid 60. She took the job for 30. Then she gets mad and pissed off at the folk because they hired her for 30 when they was willing to pay her 60. And see,
mm-hmm.
That's how life is every day.
Yeah.
But we cut ourselves up on the inside so damn much, by the time we go to get to pick up our blessing, we didn't cut ourselves off from it, and the universe prepared to give us double.
Right.
Than what we prepared
mm-hmm.
to ask, but we didn't spend so much cutting until when
mm-hmm.
we show up, we ain't showing up whole.
That's right.
So she was so pissed off and mad, she wanted to quit. And, you know, and the guy that hired her said, look, basically he said, look, on me is mine and on you is yours. You the one told me you'd do it for 30.
Right.
That's happening every day in every part of our life.
Yes.
Where the universe is prepared to give us the whole kit and caboodle, and we have cheapened ourselves through this internal cutting with the sword, this consciousness that is not connected to conscious.
Right. Well, the thing is, you get what you ask for. So it's not even the universe, because the universe doesn't judge. That's what you put out, that's what you get back. So you're not getting anything for free. You're getting exactly what you ask for. A lot of times, you know, what happens is we cannot expect the same mind, if we want to say the mindset, the same
mm-hmm.
mind, to get us out of a situation that same mind helped us to get in. So
exactly.
This is the importance of understanding how to come from your heart, because true
yes.
hearing does not come in the mind. So when people are telling me about all this chatter and they hear all these voices like you were saying and everything that's going on, that shit is your mind talking to you.
Yes,
and
yes.
You are not your mind. I mean, that's really the honest truth. You're not your mind.
Well, you're not at all. And, you know, that's one of the things that led Albert Einstein to make that statement. He said, you know, you cannot solve a problem at the same level of consciousness in which you created it. Because, and basically he's saying you got to leapfrog over your mind using your heart, because your heart is like it's like ancient, first of all. It's in rhythm with everything. Mm-hmm. So it already knows far in advance what's going down, because it's not limited to time like the mind is. The mind deals in time constructs. That's why most of us will spend most of our time thinking about what, the past or the future.
That's right.
But when you're in your heart, the heart is always present right now. Because
that's
you know what the heart knows? The heart knows you are in this moment right now, and you will never be in this moment ever again. You better do the most you can with it. You better appreciate it. It's like the people in your life. You ain't going to ever have another mother. You ain't going to ever have another father. This is the only one you got.
That's
yet you're going to find yourself in their presence, you know, trying to get out of their presence, not being thankful for who they are. I don't care what the situation is. There's something positive to take out of it. But when we're in the other consciousness that was not connected to conscience or conscious, what we tend to do, we tend to not be present. So we go through our life not being present. So we're someplace trying to be someplace else all the time.
Okay. Now, and the heart knows that the mind, the past, the present, and the future is all happening at the same time.
Exactly.
So there's
there's
no conflict with the heart.
There's no conflict. There's no
the
conflict.
Heart can be present because it knows.
It's always present. So if people listening out here, right? If people listening right now, and you know, I'm talking directly to individual people, that your ass show up to places and you are trying to be other places while you're at that place. People are talking to you and you're thinking about something else. Your children are trying to get your attention and you're trying to do something else while you're looking at them straight in the eyes. You're not fully present to your life. And because you're not fully present to your life, you're not able to enjoy your life. A life cannot be enjoyed unless you are present to it. Now, I was back home in a little country town I grew up in, which is called Abbeville, Louisiana. And I love my hometown because it's just so real. It's just so real, right? So I went down there for a funeral, for my uncle's funeral, and I was in the hotel, and I got up that morning to go to the funeral, and there was this guru from India in Abbeville, tripped me out. I was like, what in the hell is that guru from India doing in Abbeville? Wonderful things happen, you know. So that's what he said. He said, if you are thinking, you are not living. You are thinking about living. You are not living.
Right.
See, when we are thinking, we are not living. I want you to get that in your mind. When you're thinking, when you're sitting around contemplating and trying to figure shit out, you are standing on the sideline of life. You're not in the game. When you are living, you are in a natural motion and harmony that the heart puts you in, that puts you in sync with everything you desire, because your heart already knows what you desire, because that's where your desires came from in the first place. So when he said that, it was like, wow, if you're thinking, you're not living, you're thinking about living. So every time you stop thinking and get into the motion, you're living. Another example would be, think about when you're being natural. Every time we're being natural, we're not thinking.
If you
you're not conscious of no thoughts in your head.
Yeah.
What you saying, Ms. Blue?
I said, if you have to think about it, you're not doing it.
Exactly.
You got to think about it. You just rest assured, push that shit to the side. You're not doing it.
That's right.
You know how people
that
say,
is.
I was thinking about calling you. You already know they didn't call you.
Exactly. It's the interruption of rhythm. Thinking is the interruption of rhythm. Now, the key thing is, on the conscious side, the other side of the sword, which is conscience, I want you to know that the heart does think, but it doesn't think like the mind.
No, not at all.
No. But it does think, and the thinking is like it's a knowing beyond knowing. It's a certainty. It's like, man, look, I already did the thing, and I already made the table, and I already set the table, and I already cooked the meal. All I want your ass to do is show up to the dinner.
Right.
That's how the heart operates. So that's why that, you know, that's why we can enjoy ourselves, because there's a sense of certainty when our heart tells us to do something. And we've learned to trust it, which we, this is what we're struggling with. And here's what this world has caused more conflict with, because we live in a world where so many people are dying, there's so much murdering and so much killing. And so we have been being desensitized to all of this stuff, which then has an impact on our conscience, because our conscience or our conscience speaks to us from our feelings. So we need to be in tune with our feelings in order to be in tune with our heart. So when you start cutting your feelings off and you start becoming numb, you're losing communication to your heart. So it's hard to hear it. And so what happens is you become more intellectual, or you become more, I think it's the Bible that refers to it as a reprobated mind, which is, a reprobated mind is a mind that repeats the same shit over and over again. So we get stuck in that. We get stuck in not feeling and having the same conversations repeat in our head over and over and over and over again, and we don't know how to get out of it.
Right.
Because the only way to get out of it, really, you can't think your way out of it, Ms. Bloom.
No, you can't.
You can't think your way out of it. And that's what most of us have been trying to do. We're so deep. I mean, I met some deep brothers and sisters throughout my life. I mean, so deep. Lord, they're deep. Woo! So deep, they can't see. They didn't bury themselves under so much knowledge and information.
Mm.
When this is what I discovered. This is why we are told that the model, the real model, is the children. And we appointed to the children, and we said, look, the children are really our model. And what I mean by that, they are so much in their heart. They express themselves from their heart that they ain't got no ulterior motives. They come in pure to you. And if we return to that state of harmony, we don't have to have all that deep knowledge. You ain't got to have all of that. You know, the reason why I got all them degrees and went and studied all this stuff, because I didn't have no confidence in my damn self. And so I needed a whole bunch. My mind needed a whole bunch just so I could stand up and be able to say two words. And I did all of that to discover I didn't need none of that. I had what I needed from the very beginning to go and do the job I come here to do.
That's right.
So most of the stuff I studied, I don't even talk about. How much of the stuff you went to college
that's
for? People out there went out their doctorate degree.
Oh, yeah.
You know, their PhDs, the master's.
That's
how much of that shit do you really use in your everyday life? You need
to
go get your money.
You're right.
We all need to go get some
and
money.
And, you know, That's the whole key to it. Even when we look at it, whether we're looking from a scholarly point of view or even if we're looking from a conscious point of view, all of this knowledge and information is only to remind us that we don't need any of it anyway. But it does help you with your foundation. But again, information, and I can't remember who initially said this quote, but it stuck with me. Information alone does not cause transformation. Like you said, you just begin to be, you're just a person who knows a lot. Just because you know a lot of information, it doesn't mean that it has caused any kind of transformation in who you are.
Not at all.
We can look at this all throughout society and everywhere. Just because you know something, it doesn't mean it has transformed you unless you're able to do the alchemy with any of the information.
Yeah, now, Ms. Lou, check this out. Now, this is profound. It's going to hurt some people's feelings when I say this. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge is not power. And we know we've been socialized to believe that, but knowledge is not power. You know, you can have all this, like you just got through saying, you can have all this information for days in your head. But living is simple. Living is simple, and there's power in living.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me tell you something. You can have all this knowledge, and if you don't know how to fulfill yourself, you're not living.
I know
too many people. I work with too many people in quote-unquote high positions, got all these degrees and making all this money. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they forgot to learn how to live in getting all
of it. That's right.
And so they come to me wanting to learn, wanting to remember how to live. And you know,
that's
I sometimes be like, wow, y'all pay me all this money to help you remember how to live. That's an oxymoron. You alive already. So we alive, but not living.
But, you know, that is a big part of the misconception, is that we think that things outside of ourselves have the ability to do anything.
Yes.
So, you know, I see the same thing in my work. It has nothing to do with your economic status. It has nothing to do with your education level, your profession, your background, or what you do, who you think you are, or who you think you are becoming.
Right.
Or who you think you're not. Because sometimes it's about who you think you're not.
Right.
We really don't get jacked up on what we think we are, but I'll tell you what I've seen really fuck some people up, who they think they not.
Right.
Only to find right. out that's who the hell they are.
That's deep, sister.
That's deep. It's not who you think you are. It's who you think you're not.
Hmm.
That's going to get you. You see,
yes.
Because we can only identify everything as being us. You can only identify yourself from that perspective, you know?
Right.
And so it is a powerful thing to understand that all of this, absolutely everything, is to help you learn and understand who you are.
Right.
But like you said, not through your ego. Not through your ego.
No, because you missed the point.
You missed the point.
You missed the point. That look, here is what you everybody out there need to discover. You can't do shit by yourself.
You sure can't.
The universe
and literally, you cannot
literally.
Shit by yourself. Literally, you can't do that by yourself.
The universe is designed in relationship. We are in relationship to everything, and everything is in relationship to us. So since it was designed in relationship, it's trying to get us to understand that you have to work with other people. Now, there are two ways in which you can work with other people. You can work with them by trying to sneak and cut them out of stuff and be underhanded and lie and be deceitful, or you can be honest. But to be honest, you have to be in rhythm. You have to be in harmony with yourself first. And now, you got to understand something, that the only real language that is spoken of in the universe that really makes things work is honesty. Because
yeah.
It's the only real accurate language that there is. The ego doesn't speak honesty. The ego speaks
right.
truth, but it doesn't speak honesty.
Right.
And there's two different things.
Completely two different things. And, you know, we really can take this lesson from our ancestors when it comes to living in harmony. Think
yes.
about the grass. Think about the tree. The grass is never trying to be a tree, and the tree is never trying to be the grass.
That's
the flower
right.
is not trying to be, you know, the flower is not trying to be a weed, and a weed is not trying to be a flower. No matter how
right.
they recognize themselves and they see themselves, they are in harmony with each other. The tree does not try to overgrow the flowers, and the flowers don't try to overgrow the tree. They all begin to emerge themselves together. And this is something
right.
that our ancestors, definitely coming out of ancient Kemet, they understood this. And that's why when you're looking at things and you begin to look at them through nature's eyes and the tears, the true
yeah.
gods and goddesses, then you can get
yeah.
a good understanding about what harmony true is. We're talking about pure harmony. We're not talking
yeah.
about a known enemy or a nemesis or someone
no.
who doesn't have your good intention for you to go up to them talking about kumbaya, peace and love, peace and blessings, my sister. We're not talking about that.
Right.
That's not
you know,
what we're
you know
talking
what?
About.
And saying what you're saying in the conscious community, from my experience, I've seen more cutting up, us attacking each other, us trying to prove that I know more about this, more than this brother know. You hear a brother, you know, talk about something and come back and talk bad about that brother because they said
mm-hmm.
something that they got more attention on than you did on what something that you said. And that cannibalistic behavior goes along with the kind of consciousness that's disconnected from conscious conscience, where the heart is guiding. Because, see, when the heart is guiding us to do something, look, I'm telling you now, when I was invited on the show, when you invited me on the show, I didn't come on the show because I wanted to get my shine on. I really came on the show with wholehearted intentions of trying to reach somebody who is in the corner right now and needs somebody to pull their ass up with some love, with some kindness, with some understanding. Listen, if it's just about a somebody just showing off how much they know, you're wasting people's time because nobody can grow off of that.
Okay.
People gonna go off of us being of service to one another in this thing in this struggle we call life that we are trying to learn how to live to the best of our abilities. And when you surrender to your heart, you can get into that harmony that allows us to live, not think about living, live.
That's right. Live for real. Right. Let's talk about that for a minute. What causes that? What causes this energy that you were just talking about? What causes that to come up? Where does that come from?
We've been talking about it. You're talking about ego. Ego is always popping up. It's always popping up. And see, here's the thing. Last time I came in, I talked about.
I want to go a little bit deeper than the ego, because we exist with the ego, and we know that there is a part of the ego, and I've found this to be true in my work, and you can speak to this too. You need your ego. You're not going to destroy it. It's a part of the package. You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of like getting a Happy Meal. You're going to get the drinks, and you're going to get the fry or the chicken nuggets. You're going to get the whole kit and caboodle that comes with it. So a part of the agreement of us being back here on the planet, ego comes. Ego is also what helps you get up in the morning. That helps you. Ego is what helps you stand on what you know until you learn better. So there's a part of the ego that is a part of you. It's not about destroying it. It's not about getting rid of it.
You can't destroy it anyway.
But it is about, like you said, being able to be in harmony and recognize it when it comes. I want you, Brother Raghiva, to speak about what causes that ego to take that front seat. What have you found that causes the ego to get in the front seat?
Is this right here, and that's what I was getting ready to go into. Remember when I talked about the idea that the whole universe is designed to be in relationship? We in relationship with everybody. All right. So, for example, if you go to a physical fitness gym, you will notice that there are mirrors all over the place in the physical fitness gym. And it's not designed that way simply because people are vain, because they like looking at themselves in the mirror. No. It's designed that way because what we discovered is that really, truthfully, we are unable to shape and mold our bodies into what we want it to be unless we have angles of it. We got to be able to see our body to be able to shape and mold it. All right?
Right.
Now, that same concept applies to our mind and our mental body. So just like we have a physical body, we have a mental body, and that mental body, its job is to drive the physical body. So here it is. We needed to have some sort of mirrors to be able to see our mental body and then be able to get it in shape. All right?
Yes.
So our relationships come and function as mirrors reflecting back to us the condition of our mental body so we can work it out and get it in shape. Here's where ego comes in. Ego comes in because we have been taught some things that causes us not to look at ourselves in the other mirror, the relationship mirrors. And this is what we've been taught. Here's one thing we've been taught, that unalike attracts. We were taught that from young, that unalike attract, which is not true. That is a bold-faced lie.
Not always.
Well, we know on the outside, everything looks different on the outside, but what really makes a thing is on the inside. And on the inside, everything like attracts like.
That's right.
So for example, if I'm talking to myself crazy, if I talk to myself in a way that puts me down in, you know, a derogatory manner, I will attract to me relationships that reflect that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's giving me an angle of my communication so I can see what part of my communication I need to work on and transform. But
right.
Now,
I want to make sure, because everyone is asking questions, but I want to make sure that everyone has this understanding. So basically,
okay.
What you're saying, Brother Raghava, and this is sort of how I explain it. We have holograms.
Mm-hmm.
And when we walk up to people, say I'm walking up to you, and I'm saying to you, hi, how you doing? Oh, you know, it's a wonderful day. The sun is shining. You know, I'm just feeling good. You're not
mm-hmm.
really reading that. A part
mm-hmm.
of you is looking at that. But what you're really reading is this hologram I got floating over here that
yes.
says, I'm sad, I'm insecure.
Yes.
I spilled milk on me today. I got
yes.
let go of my job. You know, and, you know, hey. So even though I'm talking and I'm saying to myself, you know, hey, I'm doing all this positive talk and I'm doing all these right things, why am I getting someone over here treating me like this? Because the hologram is out there. And we can
exactly.
all read these holograms from each other.
That's right. And some of them are,
yeah.
are so conditioned, because it's not just conversation we had with ourselves this morning. It's been a
right.
conversation that we've been having with ourselves for the past 20 years.
There you go.
So
that's right.
So it is a definite hologram. When I say definite, it has
mm-hmm.
definite shape, size, and our spirit can see it almost immediately. And so
mm-hmm.
people will treat you, and you wonder, why they keep treating me that way? Because the job of every relationship is to reflect
yeah.
back to you your communication with yourself.
With
so
yourself,
this is where the
yeah.
ego comes in. Yes. Your ego comes in because you don't want to look at those mirrors.
Right.
So the
right.
ego gets empowered and is put in the front seat because, it, like a vampire, when it looks in the mirror, it sees no reflection.
There it is.
So you think that all these people in your life who's been saying the same thing about you, you think all of them just making it up. It don't have nothing to do with you.
That's
because
right.
you don't want to look at yourself. But all this is happening
right.
because it's trying to get you to look at yourself. Because here's the thing, Ms. Blue. If you look at all the relationships in your life, you're going to see that there's different people, different genders, different religions,
yes.
different races of people in your life that have come in and out of your life. But you will see one constant, and that's you. You
that's
are
right.
the common denominator.
You
so when
are
you look
the
at
common
those
denominator.
Yes. Yes. So when you look at those relationships that you keep experiencing the same crap over and over again, you will see that you're the one show up in every one of them, so you got to be the carrier of the crap.
That's right.
So this is what I tell people. I said, look, I'm going to give you an example. I said, I want you to invite some people over to your house, cook a nice dinner for them, and then I want you to make a dessert. I want you to make a special dessert. But this dessert is so special, it's kind of crude, but this is what you're going to do. You're going to take a baking pan, you're going to go out into the backyard or down the street, and you're going to pick up as much dog shit as you can. And you're going to put the dog shit in the pan. You're going to spread it out real smooth in the pan. And then you're going to call and you're going to get some of the best dessert money could buy. I mean, the best whipped cream money could buy. And you're going to cover that shit up with whipped cream, and it's going to look so good on top, nobody ain't going to be able to see the crap. Because the whipped cream is looking real good. And then I ask them this question. What happens when they cut into the whipped cream? What they get? None of the shit. So now, the conversation that we have with ourselves that puts ourselves down for years is the crap in the pan. And this is what society has taught us to do. This is what ego teaches us to do. Ego teaches us to go buy
right.
some whipped cream. Go buy your nice Louis Vuitton purse. Get you some weave. Get you a new car.
Right.
Get you all that stuff. And then the whipped cream. And you put the whipped cream on top of the crap. And as soon as people come into your life, they cut into nothing but shit. Because you're not investing in the real you. And the investing in the real you is to start looking in these mirrors that's all
that's
around
right.
you, that's been talking to
that's
you
right.
all your life, and they're not trying
all
to hurt
life.
You. Those mirrors
that's
are
right.
trying to help you to grow into your full self, which is a very
yeah.
beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is beautiful. We are live,
yes.
everyone, here in the remix with Brother Raghava. I want to give out Brother Rob Diva's information. He is available for one-on-one coaching, and a couple of ways that you can find out more about him and the work that he's doing for brothers and sisters all over the world. You can email him at Father, F-A-T-H-E-R, Ragiva, at R-A-G-I-V-A-H, at gmail.com, or you can give him a call at 1-877-229-8880. So that's 1-877-229-8880. And you can reach out to Brother Ragiva. Have an amazing chair here. We're talking about the double-edged sword of consciousness and lightning and the lightning power of your spirit, because your spirit truly does create light, and everything that you do is generating some form of light for yourself, you know?
Yes.
It is. You know, one of the things, my son told me this, and he said back when fencing, you know, back in ancient times when they used to do fencing, you know, fencing is basically like physical chess. When you're playing chess, like the game of chess, fencing, when they would fence at night, the hand that you were not fencing with, which is your non-dominant hand, you would have to hold a light up. So while you're fighting your component, you would be holding a lantern in your hand, because that light would be showing you the way where your component was. It would show you the way, so you would know which way to go to make your next move, your next critical move. Imagine if we lived our lives by the actions that we did, it would light a certain pathway. A lot of people would stop doing a lot of shit, because you would realize that what you're trying to get to, your target, is not way the hell over here where you're trying to just show up and show out. Because that's not where you want to shine light at. You would not waste that time. You know how hard it is to stay balanced, to try to hit your target and be holding a lantern at the same time? This is really symbolically what we do in our own lives. And we then begin to get confused why we're not making the mark. Why aren't we hitting our target? Why aren't we accomplishing those things that we set out, that we think that we put so much energy into doing? We have put a lot of energy out. You're always generating light. But is your angle of light, is it giving you the reflection that you're putting out? Are you really aiming at your target, or are you just shooting in the dark, you know?
And what you're saying is so beautiful, you know, and there's some things that we can practice, especially as leaders, as speakers, as people who have a voice in the community that speaks, you know, to people in terms of for the evolution of people, right? Here's something that you can practice. When you get ready to get up and speak, always acknowledge those who paved the way for you. See, this is what we have a tendency to do. We have a tendency to not to want to mention nobody else's name. Of people that helped us, because we want people to believe we did this shit by ourselves. Because the ego does. The ego thinks this way, that if they knew that all these people helped me, they're not going to see me as being powerful.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. It's actually the other way around. That when you acknowledge that you came from this line, and that's the reason why our ancestors used to do it all the time. They would acknowledge the line in which they came from, so you can see just how far back this knowledge goes, so you can know that you're dealing with some ancient stuff, that I'm not standing here by accident. I'm not an anomaly. I am the continuation of this thing.
That's right. But isn't that true for everyone, not just speakers, not just people who are out there, because we're all teachers and leaders in our own right. That's whether you acknowledge your mother, your father, your mate, your loved one, all of that.
You are correct. You are so correct, Ms. Blue. It's for everybody. But, you know, I was being intentional. I was being intentional because I work with a lot of quote-unquote leaders. And I put quote-unquote with that because we all are leaders of our own life and leaders in our community. But there are some people who have stepped out and they under the mindset they represent people. And they struggle to acknowledge the people who have invested in them. And it gives the wrong impression to the people who listen to them. none of us have gotten where we've gotten by our damn self.
That's so true.
We all have been nurtured to get to where we are, and we need to give that example to those who are listening so that we'll know that we've got to stay connected, that consciousness above anything else, healthy consciousness is about remaining connected to the source and being able to acknowledge who nurtured us, because it's so important for us to really get grounded in who we really are.
That's right. That's true. I agree.
And I'm not trying to whip a dead horse, but that is so important because
it is.
I see so often that we're missing that. It's like we're missing that, you know, the price our people paid was for us to get back together, not for us to keep moving apart.
Right, right. So where is real harmony? Where is real harmony? Where would you say real harmony is?
I would say it's in your music. It's in your music. And what I mean by that is in you being in rhythm with that which is best for you.
Right.
And being in so much in rhythm with it. You know, because the heartbeat is always trying to let us know that there's a rhythm, right?
Yeah.
There's a rhythm, and we all have this unique rhythm that we need to find. It's in us. It's there, but we have to listen for it. You're not going to see it. You got to listen for it, and it's an internal listening through the drum, the eardrum.
Mm-hmm.
And we
put
that listening, then we get in harmony with our rhythm. The problem is that when we stop learning from our relationships and we stop looking in those mirrors, what it does, it takes the focus off of us and we start trying to, quote unquote, correct other people.
Yeah.
So I know for years I thought I was, you know, I knew exactly what was wrong with everybody but me. And then when I discovered there wasn't nothing wrong with anybody, there was nothing wrong with me. But the world looks like there's something wrong with people when all you're looking at is other people and you're not seeing yourself.
And not seeing yourself, that's right. Not seeing the true reflection.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know for me, whenever I'm doing any of the readings or any of the coaching as well, I know I'm really coaching myself. That helps keep me grounded. I know that I'm talking, I'm coaching, I'm giving a reading to myself. You understand? And that's why it could be so damn on point. You understand? That's why it's so on point. So when everyone is baffled and they are, you know, just so excited about what I'm telling them, hell, I'm excited too.
Yes. And it's a beautiful thing because, you know, what I practice, and I'm pretty sure you practice the same thing, I practice seeing myself in other people.
Mm-hmm.
I practice seeing my children.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's a great one. I was going to say that's basically what I'm saying. I know it's there. I'm giving a reading to me. That's who I'm giving the reading.
And so I practice seeing myself in them. I practice seeing my children in other people's children.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I was just going to add something, but I'll say it in a minute. I'm getting a little excited here. Lots of conversation going on. Great conversation. I was just going to say, now, don't get me wrong. I'm not so spiritual that I don't recognize shit that ain't got nothing to do with me either. Some things have truly been put in our path to remind us what we're not and what we're not supposed to be. So, you know, everything is me, you know.
No. Here's the thing. You know, in terms of we are all one, that's the reality.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of us in everybody. But
that's
The thing that I get people to really focus on is those reoccurring things that keep happening, that keep showing up in your relationships. Those are the things you have to pay attention to.
Yes. I call them ancient patterns. I call them ancient patterns, and you know what I found? You're right on the mark, Brother Raghiva, is when I'm doing the Akashic record reading, I could tell them lifetime after lifetime how they're still trying to get this. You're still trying to get it. This is why it's such a struggle for you. You're still trying to get it. You see?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
I
the thing is, when you don't see it, when you don't respond to those, when you don't, you pay attention to it and see what the lesson is in there for you, it's going to keep happening over and over again anyway.
That's right. There you go. All right, you guys. I say it's time that we start taking some calls and hear some of the questions that you guys have for Brother Rob Giver. You're in for a treat tonight. He's going to give you a taste of some of his coaching that he does out there. And also, I'll be giving you a little bit of coaching, too. So you kind of get two for one. You have us both here tonight. Only in the remix, you guys. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 once you get on the phone lines. And just so you know, you guys know, Brother Rob Giver keeps it real. And you know me, I'm not going to mix sugar with shit. We're going to give it to you. This is the double-edged sword of consciousness and the lightning power of your spirit. So press 1, and boy, you must really want to get it in, because did the hands, you know the song when they say, when I walk in the building, the hands go up? Everybody's hands went up. The phone lines are all lit up. I see you guys there. So without further ado, let's get to it. We're going to go to the caller, and I'm just going to kind of go down the line here. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 419. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
This is Victor. I'm calling from Toledo. And
Victor,
give it to me.
Well, give you what? What do you want us to give you?
Probably the pattern that I need to deal with.
Well, Victor, I'd like to ask you a few questions. I know I don't read minds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I do that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, we were talking. Okay, apparently you were talking about some of the ancient patterns that we need to correct. And I feel that I know what it is. We always talking about discipline and staying focused. And I was just trying to. I really didn't expect to be the first one to come on, but I just I got lucky and did. And I guess I wanted to take advantage of the service that you are trying to provide.
Well, let me ask you this question, Victor. Quick question.
Okay.
Tell me what area in your life do you feel the least power? Do you feel like, your voice is not as powerful as it is in other areas? What part of your life do you feel like you have the least power?
The least power in manifesting things quickly. I guess that's one of the challenges that I need to learn discipline. I want things yesterday. I want it right now.
But this is your. I see right off the bat you got a problem with listening because you didn't hear what I said.
Okay.
Brother Rob Giver, hold on 1 second, Victor. Brother Rob Giver, you're coming in a little muffled here, and I just want to make sure everybody can hear you.
All right. So here's the question, Brother Victor.
Okay.
I want you to tell me where in your life, like what relationship area, do you feel like you have the least power?
I feel I have the least power in others realizing that I really do care and not to see me so much as being focused on getting something I do want things accomplished. I guess I have an ego and wanting to see things, everybody having a good time, as good a time as I'm having. And sometimes people say that I'm selfish and I'm not compassionate. And that's one of the areas that I feel that I want to try to improve on, being more compassionate, especially ones in my family.
Okay, well, okay, that's focused on your family. So in your family relationships, your voice is not as powerful as you want it to be.
Yes.
So now, all right, so now let's take this question. And people will hear me ask this question probably throughout the night because this is a very, very important question. Tell me, what do you pretend when you don't feel very powerful in front of your family? What do you pretend?
I pretend that what they're saying doesn't hurt me, that I'm going to, I've heard you're saying, oh, I'm insensitive, I don't care, and then I feel that I'm trying to do the best I can for the family. I'm trying to do the best to help, but it seems like it's not helping. They say that I'm not caring, and it's that part right there. If I explain myself clearly.
Yeah, you are. I mean, you're making sense. I understand what you're saying. So, but I want you to pay attention to what you're pretending. You're pretending
okay.
as if it doesn't hurt you, as if everything is okay. That's what you're pretending, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, what are you hiding? What are you really hiding? What do you want? What you don't want nobody to know that they really need to know, but you're hiding it. See, because when we pretend, we put a mask on and we hide something with the mask. So you're using the idea that you're making them believe everything is okay. What you're really hiding? What you're really hiding?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying everything is okay. I'm saying that we need to take action.
It's
to occur. We need to do this to get this result.
Yeah, hold on, Victor. Hold on, Victor. I'm trying to get you to look at yourself. You see that
okay.
girl that I was telling you about
okay.
when me and Ms. Blue were talking about the idea of looking at the relationships to see yourself.
Okay.
I'm trying to get you to look at the relationship to see yourself, and you're constantly trying to look at other people.
That's true.
Now, I'm asking you a question.
I see myself. Okay, I hear what you're saying now.
All right, so now.
Am
all
I
right,
taking
so now,
action to get.
All right, so now
okay.
You don't listen, Victor. You got to listen. You really got to
okay.
listen, brother.
Okay.
Because the tuning comes from the ear. It really does. It doesn't come from the mouth. It comes from the ear. So now, if you're pretending that everything is okay, like, you know, nothing is hurting you, what are you hiding? Because that's what I'm trying to get to. What are you hiding? Because you're hiding something, Victor.
I'm hiding that I'm making excuses for not being disciplined to accomplish the things that I really want to do.
So what are you really hiding? So what are you really hiding? I mean, what is it? In a nutshell, what are you really hiding? What do you want nobody to know? You ain't got no problem with people knowing that, because you told me that real easy. What are you really hiding, Victor? What you don't want people to know?
What I don't want people to know. What I don't
in
want people to know.
Disregard.
But mention it. Keep it real. But
I
don't want people to know. You put me. I don't want people to know that.
Go ahead, Victor.
I'm ashamed of myself for not accomplishing certain things that I could have accomplished at the time.
Thank you for throwing up the garbage. Thank you for giving up
okay.
the goods. So you are hiding that you think that you're not good enough. You haven't accomplished enough, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, was that hard? That wasn't hard, was it? Was it hard?
Somewhat. Yeah. Somewhat. But you know, the whole
right.
thing is throwing the ego out the way, and I've heard you.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's challenging to my ego.
Okay. Exactly. So now. Now, this is what
I
want
to show that I'm on top of everything.
All right. So now, this is what I got to get you to see, because I know we don't have that much time.
Okay.
All right. So what impact do you think you pretending that, you know, everything is cool and you hiding that you feel inadequate is having on the people in your life? I'm not asking you what impact they're having on you. I'm asking you what impact you having on them by pretending and hiding what you're pretending. What impact you having on them?
Okay, the bottom line, probably not keeping it real. Maybe I'm coming off so fake that, I mean, why would you even listen
you
to somebody that's coming off fake?
There you go. You solved your own problem. There
okay.
you go. You solved your own problem. So now.
Blue says I already got my own tools. Okay, but that's okay.
There you go. So you coming off, you're giving off all these fake vibes, right?
Okay.
You're expecting people to respond to you. They can't respond to you until you step up to the plate and start being real.
Okay.
The only way you're going to step up to the plate and start being real is you got to take responsibility for believing that you're inadequate. You got to take responsibility for generating that in yourself. Nobody put that in you. You put that in you. Now you got to take responsibility for it. That's like the first step. You can't transform nothing in your life that you don't take responsibility for.
Understood.
So, because, you know, when you came to the phone as a victim. Now, you got to leave from this conversation knowing that you got to take responsibility for faking and pretending, and knowing that as long as you keep faking and pretending what you're faking and pretending, you can only get the results that you've been getting. But when you take responsibility for it, then what you can start doing is working to create a new possibility that you want in your life, something different that you want to create. That's gonna be like a victory over all of this stuff in the past. in your mind and in your heart is going to be a victory over the past. So if you could create something in terms of whatever you want it to be in this area of your life, what would you rather it be rather than it being what it is now?
I would rather be more open.
Okay.
And more effective in what I'm trying to do.
Okay, now give me one thing that you can do tonight. One thing that you can do tonight that will move you in that direction.
Speak directly from my heart and quit trying to rationalize everything. Okay, I hear you, man.
You gave yourself a good solution. And I was just acknowledging it. I was saying, wow, here it goes. We have the answers already, but we don't listen to ourselves.
That's true, but one of the challenges I had to fear, I'm so used to dealing with trying to say the right thing, to do the right thing, but then the bottom line, it doesn't end up being that way. I hear speaking from the heart, and I hear you, Brother Bilal and Sister Blue. Okay.
All right. Well, you didn't hear me yet.
Oh, okay.
You didn't hear me yet, Victor.
Okay.
But
I'm going from our past conversation, but yeah, I didn't hear you yet. No, okay.
Yeah, you didn't hear from me yet. And so, excellent. I really love what the exercise Brother Ra Giva just took you through.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm going to do is, because I see all of you guys on the phone lines, and we're going to try to get to everybody. We still have like an hour and 13 minutes to go, and then we have the after hours. But the first thing that I want to tell you, Victor, is I want you to just do a quick reflection about when you were 7 years old, because I'm going to give you some points where you can begin to go in and take a look at this work that Brother Ra Giva just gave to you. And I want you to think back to when you were 7 years old. Tell me about your memory of being seven.
Whew. About the only thing I remember is being by a tree and playing with some insects.
Okay. Well, the reason I wanted to bring that up for you, Victor, and here's some things I want you to take a look at. That energy, that vibration, when we're at that age of seven, some critical things happen to us when we turn seven. One of the things that actually happens is that umbilical cord that was very tight with our mother,
mm-hmm.
That's very, very tight with our mother, starts to kind of loosen up, and we begin to sort of kind of seal ourselves in with our own auras around the age seven.
Okay.
So a couple of things, a couple of patterns begin to start to resurface or can begin to resurface for us at age seven. At age seven, Victor, you had a strong need for privacy. Why would a seven-year-old want to be private?
Yes.
Think about that.
Okay.
A seven-year-old that needed to be and have this level of privacy. You wanted to have your own privacy, because this is when you begin to start to do a lot of absorbing of thoughts. And then you develop your own unique way of how you begin to think of things. And one of those things has to do with what we've been talking about all night tonight, and Brother Ra Giva has really started this conversation out about relationships.
Okay.
What they look like, what they were supposed to feel like, and what was supposed to happen.
Okay.
So where you can begin to start to look at is this area of when you were 7 years old, because this is when you started to have all of these different thoughts when it came to your sexuality, when it came to what love looked like, when it came to what all of these things were for you. And so a big part of you, even though you're a grown-ass man as you stand before me,
okay,
you're still 7 years old.
Okay.
And here's the thing that Spirit is saying to you at this particular time. You better start choosing wisely these decisions that you're making when it comes to relationships and how you're engaging in these relationships. Because the truth is, I don't care where a part of you are, your ass ain't seven no more. And you're going to be held accountable for things that you do and that you say.
Well, that's why I have a dilemma sometimes of speaking freely from the heart and then being aware that I have to be aware of the consequences of speaking from my heart in relationship to others.
Well,
I don't know if you understand that. I don't want to hold up time on the phone.
No. Hold on. We don't have a lot of time, but Victor, there's no conflict. There is absolutely no conflict because you do understand what is right for you and what is not, but you choose to ignore it. And you're ignoring that because you're trying to hold on to your mental mind. And so I challenge you when you say you come in from your heart. That don't come from the heart.
Exactly. No, that's
from the mind. That comes from the mind. And
okay.
So there is an exercise that I give out, and I'm going to give it out very clearly. Know that when you hear this in your mind, it's not coming from your heart. You got to know that. And trust the feeling that your body is giving you, because that's where your true spirit lies and not in your mind. So that's what I have to say to you, Victor, and you can take it from there.
Yes, I will. You know I'm going to work on it.
Yes. Well, do it. Peace and love to you.
Peace and love to you. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to keep going, you guys. Brother Rodriga, I'm getting reports that people can't hear you. So make sure that I want to make sure they hear you because you have some great information. So people are saying. All right, so we're going to go on to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from Erica 501. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Oh, wow. Hi, Miss Blue.
Greetings.
This is Afia from Arkansas, and you know what? I don't have a question.
I'm quite sure you don't. I'm quite sure you don't. So I'm gonna let you go ahead and hold the line.
Thank
and
you.
You
and oh, I'm Brother Rodriga.
You're welcome.
I love it when people know their magic. It's beautiful. We're gonna go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 309. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 309. All right, we're going to come back because you have us on mute. We don't have time to be muted. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 347. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Greetings. Who's on the line, please?
Oh, hi. I didn't know I was on. Hi, I'm Sabrina. I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Okay. You said Sabrina?
Yes.
Okay. Sabrina calling from Brooklyn. All right. Brother Rodriga, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay. All right.
What you got? What you got, Sabrina?
Okay. So, my man talks to me about this all the time, and actually, I think that my biggest issue is I have a problem with self confidence. Like I'm always thinking that, you know, everyone else is better around me, and or that everyone else is out to get me. Basically that. That I'm not worthy.
So what you pretend most of the time, Sabrina? What you pretend? Since you think that you're unworthy, you're not this, you're not that, what you pretend most of the time? What mask you wear? Describe the mask you wear.
That everything's okay, but also I think I live in illusion a lot. I don't live in reality.
Pretend is illusion. That's just it. Pretend is illusion. So if you're pretending everything is okay when you're thinking all this stuff, so you're hiding that you think you're inadequate, which is the same thing most people hide. Most people hide that they feel like they're inadequate. They think that they ain't this, and they wear the mask of everything is okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and this is why I do this with everybody, because we have become so numb and so we have fallen asleep to this, that I want you to become awake to the impact it's having on your life. What impact is it having on your life? Like, in terms of what impact is it having on your future? What impact is it having on the possibilities that you could be having as a result of you pretending that everything is okay and you hiding that you think you're inadequate and not doing anything about it? What impact is it having on you?
Well, I'm definitely not moving forward in life, like things that I would like to do, you know, because I have that negative self-talk telling me that, you know, I can't do it. So, yeah.
So you're not moving forward. Do you have any children?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have one. Yes.
How many children do you have?
One.
What's your child name?
It's Casey.
Casey. Now, what impact do you think your stuff is having on Casey?
Oh, well, definitely. Well, he doesn't live with me right now, but it's preventing me from getting him, him being in my life.
So I want you to think about it, because sometimes we don't see enough value in ourselves to move and take action around things. But when we see what impact we're having on other people, because we are impacting other people's lives, you know, and sometimes we have to ask ourselves that question, what is it like being in our life? Because we be so focused on, you know, what other people are doing to us that we don't hardly ever ask the question, how is it to be around us? Because some of us are like a damn toothache. And we don't know we are toothache to people. We think we got it going on, and we are all day toothache because we walk around all day thinking, I ain't this and I ain't that. We got our pity party rolling, and you're pretending that everything is okay. Mm-hmm. First of all I need you to do is take responsibility for what you're pretending. You pretending that.
Yeah.
Nobody walk around with no gun.
But just recently, I became aware of this. I didn't know.
Okay.
I didn't know myself. And so just recently, I've become aware of the fact that I'm a toothache. You know, I'm a vampire sucking everybody dry because I'm so negative. This aura is, you know, sucking everybody else's positive energy around me.
How does that feel? How does that feel to be a vampire?
I don't like it at all. I don't like it.
What you don't like about it? Tell me what you don't like about it. I want you to get in touch with that.
Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like, you know, it makes me sad, it makes me depressed. It, you know, gets me on this roller coaster of thinking that I'm not good enough, or see, look at me, I'm just, you know, nobody wants to be around you, and it's just I get on this merry-go-round, and I think. It makes me want to, like, not be around people, and it really affects my life completely.
So, all right, now notice, Sabrina, that none of this can transform until you take responsibility for it. And I want everybody that's listening to listen to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
No turnaround can happen in your life until you take responsibility for the condition that exists now. See, the reason why the condition has stayed for so long in most of our lives is because we have refused to take responsibility for it. We've been blaming what we have been pretending on other people.
Yeah.
Nobody can make you pretend anything. This is something that you have chosen to do on your own, using your own imagination and using your own ego. So now, I need your responsibility for you, what you're pretending and hiding. And now I want you to tell everybody that's listening, because everybody's going to want to sort of like on a spiritual level hold you accountable to this. What would you like, how different, what would you like to see that's different from what you have right now?
I would like to have more people around me, people, friends, people that I love and care for. I would like to be happy, like wake up in the morning and be happy, go to sleep being happy, just do stuff that makes me happy and other people happy as well.
So you'd like to have a sense of happiness for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now I want you to name me one thing. Tell me one thing. Tell me and Ms. Blue one thing that you can do that will move you in that direction and you can start tonight. One thing. that you can do that moves you in the direction of happiness?
I think about, you know, affirmations, stuff like that, mantras.
No. That stuff don't really work. No, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you something to do. I want you, when you get off the phone, I want you to make a list of all the things that you've lost as a result of you pretending and hiding what you've been hiding. Make a list of everything you've lost.
Okay.
And I want you to get really, I want you to feel that. Not because I'm trying to make you feel bad. It's just that we have to sometimes hit rock bottom in our foolishness in order for us to realize that if we don't straighten up, shit ain't going to change. So I need you to see everything you've lost and you continue to lose as a result of you pretending and hiding. And then I need you to write on the other side of that list, what would be possible if you took responsibility for yourself and you started moving in the direction of getting back your happiness? If you started moving with getting rid of the pretend. You know, you ain't gonna pretend. I'm not gonna act like everything's fine. I'm gonna let people know what I really feel right now when they ask me. That don't mean a pity party. It don't mean turn the violin on and woe is me, because people don't want to hear that. Because if you're taking responsibility for yourself, you're not gonna be throwing no pity parties anyway. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but I want you to do that list. And after you do that list, if you get a moment and drop me a line and let me know what you have on that list. And then, you know, I'll give you some pointers to go on the next step with in this, because I need you to get present to what you're losing. What's the cost of all of this? Because until we understand the cost, we don't do nothing to change until we know what the price is.
Right.
And you're paying some hell of a price for this foolishness you're doing. It's foolishness because you're a powerful woman. No doubt about it. Ms. Blue, you got something for her?
Yes, I do. And what did you say your name was again?
Sabrina,
I'm going to give you a different angle to take a look at. And Brother Raghav gave you some wonderful things that you can begin to take a look at and to work with to start to make change. I'm going to give you another angle to look at, but I want to take you back, and I want you to talk to me about what happened when you was 11 years old. What happened to you at 11? Because I see energetically in your energy, immediately when I get into your energy, this is one of your major markers for you.
Okay. 11. Well, that's when I first got my period. I was pretty much living with my grandparents. I was living with them because I had a tragedy happen in my family when I was 9. So I've been living with them for a while. I think my mother came back in my life, and just a lot of turmoil with her and her life.
Right. Yeah.
Was kind of a loner. So, that's actually when I started, like, rebelling, I think.
Oh, yes. And thank you for that. Thank you for that confirmation, because, you know, one of the things that happened because of so much of the turmoil that was going on in your life, one of the things, you know, immediately getting into your energy, I see a lot of goal light. And I understand about goal light, because I have goal light in my aura, too. And one
what
of the things that, say it again?
I'm sorry, what did you say, what light?
Gold, like the color gold?
Gold, okay, got it.
Gold light. One of the things about gold light is that these are really the colors that entrepreneurs of the world, those visionaries of the world, hold those colors, that color of gold light. And the other thing that people with gold light have is that they suffer from extreme levels, depending on where this light is, and this is very strong around you, of issues of abandonment.
Yes.
And you suffer from a lot of issues of abandonment. But here's something else that I see, and I see this in sort of a reverse way. and energetically, you don't actually put yourself down. That's not your problem, that you put yourself down. The problem is that you somehow think you're better than other people, and that a lot of it that you go through, you shouldn't be going through. This should not be your life. And so how you really get your fix, because ultimately that's what we do sometimes when we don't know how to adjust. And this is for everyone. We try to figure out what our fix is. Your fix is to say, I have low self-esteem and I have low confidence in myself, which would have been a true statement when you were 11. You did have low self-esteem. You did not have no confidence. But that has all changed for you. And I want to commend you, because you need to give yourself credit for the work that you have done. But here's the part that keeps tripping you up. And if you don't come out of this, then what you're going to find is that 11-year-old that started to rebel against everyone who was loving her in her life, and it took you down a path of using your body, of using your mind to try to get this attention that you felt you deserved, you're going to be looking at it in your child. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Yes, very much.
So if you want to come out of your illusion, then you have to first be honest and tell the truth about what you're seeking. And you're seeking attention. And it's nothing wrong with trying to get attention, but you need the right kind of attention. And that is first to be honest with yourself and to stop trying to play these games that you have such low self-esteem that you can barely pick yourself up, that this is why you're doing this. That's a lie. And you know it's a lie. The truth of the matter is you think that you're better than everyone else. And this is why you can't get no help. And so we're not going to waste any more time here. But when you're ready to be honest, and maybe you can go back and listen to the show, because you have more than yourself to think about here. You have your child to think about. You have yourself. And you have all of those people out there that you've been trying to desperately impress. But the truth of the matter is they're impressed when they're looking you in your face, but when you turn your back, my sister, they see you for who you really are. And if you want to begin to start living a true life for yourself, a very authentic life for yourself, stop playing games with yourself and others, and you'll get it.
Wow. That's so on point. I want to add something. One more thing, that every time you hear an adult pretending something, it is always a lie, and especially when they're pretending that they have low self esteem or they don't believe in themselves and all this stuff. That's not true. That's what the whole idea of pretending is. So for all those people that are listening, if you're pretending anything as an adult, that's not real. So you're hiding behind that lie that you constantly tell yourself, because the reality is the ego takes on this position where it knows or thinks it's better than everybody else anyway. And when it doesn't get its way, then it reverts to telling us that we ain't shit.
So
it causes us to start performing.
Yeah.
So there you go, my sister. If you don't want to get any more Academy Awards for acting, then you can start being real. Because you acting your ass off tonight. I feel like I need to give you an award. You acting your ass off.
I guess I do it so much. I don't even know that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Well, here you go. You heard it now.
You're not by yourself.
So no. You can be a reflection to everyone tonight. So peace and love to you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to the next caller, you guys. We have about 50 minutes left to go in the form, so we're going to try to move through these. Brother Rogiva is giving you guys some taste here, and I'm also giving you guys a little bit of coaching here. So a beautiful night with Brother Rogiva, always powerful, in the remix. So we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 504, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from, and please turn your computer speakers off. 504. 504?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Greetings. Who's on the line?
Hey, how is things going?
Everything is wonderful. Who's on the line, please?
This is Mario calling from New Orleans.
All right, Mario from New Orleans. New Orleans, Mario.
What's happening with you, Mario? What's going on with you, brother?
Man, I was calling in. I think that I was trying to see how I was ending. I was listening to everything you had going on, and I was I'm trapped in this little situation, whereas I live in Baton Rouge, and I'm driving backwards and forward to work, and I feel like I'm running myself too thin, and basically, I think I'm trying to live for other people, living my life and not for myself. It's like now it's not making me happy what I do, and I'm in the music industry, and I think I'm pulling myself too thin.
Well, you don't think you know that already. And
the reality
is, you know, similar to what Ms. Blue just got through telling the last caller, you've been living that same kind of thing. You've been chasing behind the idea of impressing people, right? And as long as you're trying to impress people, one thing you know for certain, you are not going to fulfill yourself because it's impossible. You can't serve two lords. Either you're going to do what's in your heart or you're going to serve everybody else. That's what you've been doing. So you probably pretend on a regular basis when you're in front of those people that you feel like you have to, you know, really come up to, or you really got to exaggerate who you are in order to impress. What group of people would you say that's the most that you do that in front of? Is that, you know, family? Is that a certain kind of friends? Is that in your career? Where would you see yourself, you know, feeling like
more with friends.
So you do a lot of stretching with your friends. So what you pretend? What you pretend around your friends? What you pretend?
Like I got everything going for myself.
That you got everything going for yourself, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, so what's the reality? What you hiding?
It's not. My life is in a mess.
Now look at it. Now let me tell you something, bro. If you want some liberation, start living your reality. And what I mean by that is that stop lying about it, because here it is. I want you to understand something, what you're doing. I'm going to cut straight to the chase. You're generating two different communications within yourself. You got a communication that you're sharing with them, which is everything good, I got it going on. But then there's a communication inside yourself that say, look, man, my reality, I'm short. Things ain't adding up. So now when you communicate to the universe about wanting something to happen, the universe is confused because you're giving out mixed messages. And what you're doing is you're canceling out anything being able to happen for you because you're playing both ends. You got to get in line with your reality and stop trying to get the Oscar or the Academy Award and be real with yourself so you can come out of this mess, man.
Yeah, and you know, something you said about, like, communication. I lack communication. And
the communication you're lacking right now is with yourself. You're not being honest with you. Because, see, it's one thing to know that you're lying to other people, but it's another thing to keep doing it.
Right.
So what you're telling me is you continue to lie to other people even though you know it's a lie. So now how would you expect your communication to have any power to it if you know you're lying and you keep lying?
Right.
So I want you to take responsibility for that. You got to take responsibility for pretending. And then make up in your mind, make up in your mind that you're going to move to your reality. And understand that when you embrace, only when you embrace your reality fully can you transform your reality.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing you're going to be able to do for your reality as long as you're pretending that your reality is not your reality. You get
me? No, I feel you.
All right, Ms. Blue, you want to add? You got something to add? I know you do.
Yeah, I do want to add a little something there. I want to ask you a question. Tell me your name again. What's your name?
Mario.
Mario. Okay, Mario. So let me ask you this question here. I'll just start out by asking you a question, and then we'll get right to it. What do you want to happen?
I'm full of these ideas and these things that I'm trying to do, and it's just like I'm on the edge of it, then it's like everything just falls. You know?
But stay with me here, because I asked you, what do you want to happen? Not what you don't want to happen. What do you want to happen?
I want my life to fall into, get in line with the reality that I have in my mind.
No. You're telling me what Raghiva just told you. I'm asking
yes.
you, what do you want to happen? Talk to me. What do you want to happen?
I want to be successful. I want to get this money. I want to bring my music out. I want to bring the those things.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the reason I posed that question to you in a different way, so that you can really get what Brother Raghiva just told you, the universe can't give you what you don't even know. And look how long it took you to explain to me what you wanted to happen. If you're not clear, there is no future. You're not free-falling here. You understand what I'm saying? When we start to look at these people, and this is not coming from a judgment point of view, you want to get out there, you want to make money, you want to put your music out there, you feel that that's what you came to the planet to do, I say go for it. But don't go for it for bullshit. You understand? Because it takes real work. You want to talk about intestinal fortitude? All you have to do is go back and take a look at some of these brothers and sisters who have made it in the game that you want to make it in. They didn't get there by not knowing where they wanted to go. If you go back and you begin to ask what they wanted, let's just take Jay Electronica. His ass is very clear on what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's not baffled. He not stuttering. He not backstepping. You take a look at anybody who is doing what they're supposed to do, and you can look at that from any level, from mother, from father, from brother, from sister. They are very clear. This is one thing that those who have achieved what they wanted to do have in common. We're clear on what we want to do. It's not a cloudy picture. But here's the thing that you got to get, Mario. You're not free-falling. See, because you're still somewhere sitting thinking that somebody going to find you. Somebody going to discover you. Somebody going to come save you. Ain't nobody coming to save your ass, because it's a line of 1,000 brothers just like you out there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's coming to save you. And I say that to you honestly. You want to go make money, then your ass has got to put the work in. And where you're falling short at is you don't want to do the work. You want a shortcut. You want somebody to discover you. You want somebody to come pick up your CD. You want somebody to bump into you in the grocery store. You want your homeboy to go tell somebody about you. But the question still comes back to you. What are you doing about what you say you're supposed to be about?
I'm not doing anything that I need.
There you go. So we know nothing from nothing leaves what?
Nothing.
There you go.
There you go. And look.
In a nutshell.
just in a nutshell, your communication, people got to understand this. You need to understand this, Mario. The only communication that creates progress in the universe for you is honesty. You know, we talk about on the street all the time about keeping it real. We don't even know what keeping it real is. Keeping it real is being honest about what's going on for real in your life.
I wanted to say something about the keeping it real, but that's okay. Go ahead, because, you know,
When you communicate stuff that ain't real, you give out inaccurate information to the universe. It means you give out inaccurate addresses, so you're sending people to the wrong place. So the universe could be wanting to aid you in what you're doing, but you keep sending everything to the wrong place because you're lying about where you really are. Don't lie about where you are. You got to be real about where you are all the time.
And the greater picture to that is that the universe know how to find your ass anyway. So the only person you fooling is you. That's the only person who's being tricked in the game is you. Ain't nobody else being tricked. When they look at you, they already know. They're not. Ain't nobody confused about it. You're the only person confused.
And the thing is, people don't realize is that the universe does not interpret shit for you. The universe is not going to say, oh, Mario really means this. No, the universe don't do that. Whatever you say, go. You creating the rules in your life by which the game going to be played.
You're not free-falling here, Mario. And as much as I want to feel sorry for you because I love the brothers, I can't feel sorry for you. Because I do my work every single day in my life. And I know that it is work. Do I love it? Of course I do. When I'm in that space and I'm in that place, does time get removed? Of course it does. But make no mistake, there is a side of it that you have to be able to measure your results. Success is not always starting with the thought and ending with the action. You have to be able to measure your results. And when your results are not coming up with what you want, it's time for you to get another game plan. If you're not willing to do that, then maybe you shouldn't say that's what you really want. Because we know when you really want some shit, Mario, you go after it. All right. So that's what I say. I say it's time for you to go back to the drawing board, trust your inner voice, sit down and be clear about what it is you truly want, and then begin to start working from your heart and not your mind. Here's another lesson. If you didn't get this, you need to go back and you need to download. Chasing money ain't never got nobody nowhere.
Mm-mm.
Never. Doesn't mean that you won't have money. Oh, you'll make some money, but that shit won't be consistent. It'll be like diarrhea on a bad day.
Wow.
It'll come and go. That's the worst feeling in the world, is to have some shit come and go.
I've been there before.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't want to do it again, then I suggest you take these words to your heart and get to doing some real damn work. And then you can come back on and talk about how your life ain't working. Because you can lie to everybody. It doesn't matter. Because everybody is living their own life. I don't care that you lie to me. That has nothing to do with me. That's your life.
Right.
The only person that you're living in the delusion with is yourself. And if you truly, truly want to get out, and I know you do, that's why you called in, then you have to do the work. There is no shortcut. I don't care what you're trying to do in this world. There is no shortcut. You can talk to a homeless person on the street, and they will give your ass a long rap sheet about how long it took their ass to become homeless.
Mm.
There is no shortcut.
Mm-mm.
Do your work.
Bye. That,
all right.
I mean, yeah, I appreciate y'all.
You're welcome.
We
appreciate you.
Peace and love to you down there in New Orleans.
All right. Have a good one.
Peace and love. You too. Peace and love.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry, you guys. I don't do well with mixing sugar with shit. And I know you guys want to hear the truth, so that's what we give you. We give you the truth. We give you the truth. At the end of the day, we are all talking to ourselves. So isn't that a beautiful thing? We're going to continue on because we have 35 minutes. We're going to just kind of knock out as many of you guys as we can. Brother Raw Giver here live in the forum. So we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 503. You're live in the remix. Please. 503.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Who's on the line, please?
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Let me turn this up a minute. Okay, there we go. There we go. Thank you. This is Tracy. And, oh, wow, where do I begin? Oh, the whole topic tonight is just perfect. I'm trying to repair a relationship that kind of broke over ego versus heart issues that were surfacing that kind of got in the way.
Hmm. Can you be more specific?
Yes. My boyfriend said that fears were surfacing in the relationship, and he was backing off. And I told him I didn't believe it. And then he says, yeah, he wasn't sure. So.
Okay. So, but this is not the first time it's happened, right?
Yeah, it's the second time.
Oh, second time. So, and if you don't interrupt this pattern now, it's going to be a third time and the fourth time. So,
yeah,
so,
I know.
Right. Okay. So what are you afraid of? Because I'm hearing some, you got so much fear in your voice. What are you afraid of?
You know, I think I made a mistake, too, because I didn't believe him, and I should have reacted.
What are you afraid of?
I don't know. I'm afraid I made a mistake.
Do you want me to tell you what you're afraid of?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because I do this. I'll just tell you, because we're on time constraint. You're afraid of him leaving you, which he did anyway.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yes.
Go ahead, Robbie. I just wanted to say that.
She's afraid of something else that's not just, it's not about him. She's
afraid
of something that's deeper than
alone.
Him. He's just filling in that role.
Mm-hmm.
He's just filling that role because, you know, this fear is like, you know, just, you know you when you hit that childhood thing where there's something that we became afraid of that's like reoccurring, and that's when I'm hearing the voice, this idea, this whole I need somebody to love me, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm hearing it in your voice, like like clinging, like you clinging like to like you know, like Charlie Brown, the little character in Charlie Brown, Linus used to cling to his blanket.
Yes.
And, it's difficult to be with anybody who is that clingy.
I didn't see myself as that way, but maybe it kind of got that way towards the end.
And emotionally, too. I mean, you know, clinginess is not just, you know, I want to be around you all the time, but you can be emotionally clingy because, you know, you keep asking the same questions over and over again. You know, and that could wear your ass out. That could wear a person out. So, but what in this situation? What do you pretend with him? What did you pretend? What was your mask you wore?
Oh boy. I don't know. I.
So you were honest with him all the time. That's what you're saying to me?
No.
Did you pretend the same thing in the last relationship? What did you pretend?
He reminded me of my father.
Ah. You pretended that?
No, that's just what came up. That it gave me a comforting feeling of, like, family.
So you were having a relationship with your father?
I think so.
Ms. Blue, I'm going to turn it over to you because that's deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's what I want to say. I can believe that he reminded you of your father because men to you, like with many sisters, and in some regards, there's a balance with this, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. He represented hope to you because that's one of the things down in your heart is that you hope to have a man, a husband, someone you can build a family with. This is what you wanted to be. And someone who reminded you of those attributes, those qualities that your father has. And you know, often, most women know this, every single woman who has had a halfway decent daddy in her life, let me say that, wants to marry her father. That is usually the first man that we fall in love with is our daddy. I love my father. You know what I mean? Those are some of the qualities that I look for in my father.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I want to tell you about the relationship. And I'm going to talk about the relationship, and then I'm going to give you some things to do.
Okay.
First of all, he was not a good match for you, so let him go. There is a difference between trying to meet someone for hope and someone who is fucking hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want to do is you want to save brothers. And Brother Rawgiver is on the phone. He can tell you this. Brothers don't like to really be saved. Now, it sounds good in the beginning. You may buy them fancy cars and fancy things, and you may take them out to dinner and get them something nice. But a real brother don't want you saving their ass.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing that you can learn from this, that let's say they need to be saved. When you save them and they are able to save themselves, they are quickly going to cut your ass off if you think you're going to keep saving them.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work that way. So here's what I pick up energetically, that what happened in this relationship. You went to go save his ass. And you thought by you saving him, he was going to give you in exchange what you wanted, which was hope, which was to have this family, and everything was just going to turn out lovely. But it didn't.
Yeah. Right.
Because he finally got himself together in a note to sisters. Y'all keep playing with these brothers, thinking that you're going to downgrade so you can upgrade. And then what eventually happens is you keep playing with these brothers. They get their shit together, and they move on to the next chick.
And that's what he did.
You're really grooming them for a higher quality of woman.
Oh, wow.
That's what you did. You taught him to go get a higher quality of woman than yourself.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
And that's what you
did. And here's the thing, though. Here's the thing that you got to get, because from the very beginning, number one, even though if you're looking for your father, you still have to see the person for who they are, not through no illusion, because if you're looking for your father, then you're not looking at the guy. It's like you have this idea of what an ideal man is supposed to be.
Yeah, well, yeah, and
that's
true.
And you're in a relationship
agree.
With that. You're not in a relationship with the real guy. So, because if you were in a relationship with the real guy, you would see that he was not a match for you. But you were dating your idea. You were dating your mind. You were dating the ideas and the concepts you had in your mind. That's what you were dating.
You're dating hope. You were dating hope. So here's my suggestion to you. My suggestion to you is you got a lot of anger. See, I'm not concerned about him because he's just fine. You understand? He done moved on. He done got him a chick that got he done doubled his income. You know how that commercial come on TV and it says double your income in less than 24 days or less? He done doubled his income. He doubled himself.
Wow.
And so ultimately he got what he wanted. My concern, though, is for you, because what you're carrying now is a lot of anger because you did a lot of compromises that you wouldn't do normally. You compromised for this thing that you called hope. And so what has to happen now is for you to invest in loving you. Mm-hmm. And when you can start to invest in loving you, then you don't have to worry about nobody using you, taking advantage of you, or doing anything to you. One of the things my father used to always tell me when I first got into the dating age, always follow your own agenda, and then you don't have to be worried about being tricked into following someone else's agenda. If I'm pure at heart, I don't have to worry about what kind of slimy shit you're doing behind my back, in front of my face, or anywhere else. I don't have to worry about that because I'm being true to me. And that's who you need to begin to be true for. As far as him, cry your tears, stomp your feet, and get over it. Learn the lesson and start to begin to come from your heart. Love you.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
can
and that's
still
so important.
Have that dream of hope
yeah.
and love and a family. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There is even nothing wrong with seeing great qualities in your father and wanting those. But as Brother Ra Giza says, you have to be able to see people for who they are. But the first person you have to see for who they are is yourself. And that's all we got to say because we got to move on because there's other people. So peace and love to you. Cry your tears. Stomp your feet. And let the brother move on. Peace and love. All right. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 919. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 919.
Black Match, can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
We can.
Okay. This is Black Match and Raleigh. How are you all doing tonight?
Great, great. What's your name again, brother?
My name is Black Majesty. Well, my name is Perrin, but I go by Black Majesty in the chat room.
Okay.
But, I just wanted to thank you, Rock Ever, for the show tonight and Miss Blue.
You're welcome, brother.
Because
you're welcome.
It hit on what I was working on tonight. Well, it confirmed what I was working on this week, you know, what I overcame this week. So I thank you very much for the show. And, that's, I don't really think I have any questions other than what do you see me needing to work on to ascend. That's about it.
Say it again.
What do you see me needing to work on in order to ascend? Do you do like readings like that, or do I have to ask a question?
Yeah, well, let me ask you something, you know, because I've been asking the same question to people in terms of where you're struggling at in your life. What area of your life you're struggling?
I want to say, anger is the first thing that comes to mind.
What area? What, like, your
marriage,
family,
yeah.
work? Where are you struggling at?
I'm struggling at, I say family, marriage. Yeah, too.
Okay. Let me say this to you because I usually pick one area to start off with
okay.
because sometimes, you know, it's really a whole our whole life that we're struggling in.
Right.
And I want you to know that what creates the struggle, really in a nutshell, for those people who are listening, is that any inauthentic communication that we are putting out in the universe is going to create struggle.
Okay.
Because we live in a universe of reality that moves and is obedient to reality. When we communicate make-believe stuff, we create problems for ourselves because we stop having results. We stop getting the results that we want. So everything starts, it becomes like stagnant. It stops moving. People don't listen to us. We say something, people laugh at us, or they do the opposite of what we say. And it's trying to get us to understand that until we stop lying, first to ourselves and then to other people, nothing can change. So I know right off the bat, brother, without even getting into your history, because we don't have that much time, is that there's a lie that you're telling that you keep telling over and over again. There's a lie you keep telling to yourself, and you've been telling yourself that lie for so long that it don't even occur to you as a lie no more. And you've gotten other people to believe it.
and they now believing it, and now what you're seeing is no production happening in that part of your life or all over your life. Now, this is what I need you to do. I need you to search for what that lie is.
Got it.
And I need
already
you,
got it.
I need you to. What is it? What is that lie?
I don't give a fuck. That's what it is. Like, I'll tell people I don't give a fuck. And at the point, that's where the anger comes in, because I'll be angry and I'll say I don't give a fuck.
Is that true?
No. When I calm down, no, it's not. It's like, well, actually, I have to go back and say, you know, I apologize for this, that, and the other. You know, at times, it is all the time. I really, yeah. So, yeah, that is it. The lie is I don't give a fuck. I'll say that, and it's
so
not
you're
true.
Lying about that. So you really do care. You really do care, right? Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So no, so you don't communicate what you really feel. Is that what that's basically what you're saying? You rather pretend as if you don't care than let people know the reality about that you care a whole hell of a lot.
At times, yes.
No, you do care sometimes. You know, you talk about people in your life, right? You care.
Yeah.
You care only sometimes, or you care for them all the time. Which one is?
I care for them all. I care for them all the time. Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Okay.
I care all the time.
So you got to get yourself in alignment with the reality of what you really feel, because you know, every time you tell his lies, like, you know, this is the ego. This ain't got to do with your heart. Your heart is always looking to align with the people in your life in terms of, if you love folk, then you got to have some balls to love them.
Yeah.
And it can't be based upon you trying to figure every damn thing out. There's some things you're not going to be able to figure out that you're going to have to trust on. And here's and the proof of the trust is us being honest. When we stop being honest, that means we ain't trusting shit. That's why we start lying. We start lying because we ain't trusting. So what is it about yourself you're not trusting? That's important to see. There's something about yourself you're not trusting. It is not allowing you to trust other people, because we always blame it and say, I can't trust A, B, and C. And, you know, me and Bilal and Jafar had this thing we used to always do with people. We'd always ask the question, tell me how many people you trust, and I'll tell you how much you trust yourself. Most people would say they only trust 5 people or 2 people on one hand. That's how much. That's the percentage in which you trust yourself. And when you bring up that level of trust in yourself, you're going to be able to trust other people, and you're going to be able to then start really expressing what you really feel so you can get the results you really want.
Okay. You said bring trust. Can you repeat that for me, please?
Yeah.
I'm taking to this.
You got to build your trust in yourself. You don't trust yourself.
Okay.
You keep second-guessing yourself. I don't have time to go at where it really started.
Right.
If we had time, I could go to where the root of it is. But I know it's trust issue with you, and you got to build your trust up in yourself. Ms. Blue,
okay.
I know you got something to tell it.
Yeah. I'll just give you a couple of things here, Black Magic 3, that's coming up for you. The number one thing that's coming up for you has to do with communication, and it has to do with truth, and it also has to do with facing your fears. The other thing that comes up, I don't know if you've ever seen they'll show this picture in commercials sometimes, and it'll have the person's head, and it'll have all of these pieces sort of moving around in their head, like a jigsaw puzzle. Have you ever seen that?
I think so. I think I was talking about.
Yeah. This is the image I see. Whenever I see this, I know that there's a lot of mental conflicts going on.
Yeah.
A whole lot of mental conflicts going on. The first thing I will tell you is that it's important that you begin to write some things out. The second thing I'm going to tell you is that I would recommend that you get in some sort of counseling.
Okay.
I don't recommend that too often, but I would really recommend that you get some sort of counseling. I heard you when you said that the number one thing that you sort of kind of lie about is that that you don't give a fuck. You know, that's your attitude about it. But the truth of the matter is that you really do care. And energetically, I do pick that up, that you care. You care almost to a fault.
Yeah.
And when you begin to take your energy to a level
where you no longer can control what is real and what is not, this is when you have stepped outside of yourself completely. And so when you say you do care, I'm concerned about where that care goes. I see a lot of red energy around you in your aura. And typically when I see this particular color of red mixed with this energy of this greenish-gray color, this is the color of anger. This is the color of something violent.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to you energetically, your spirit does not seem violent. But in fact, your inner workings is very violent.
Yeah.
I would strongly suggest that you find someone who's in your local area that you can physically go into that works primarily with things of holistic, that can sit down and really help you work through these mental conflicts that you're having.
Okay.
Begin to journal your thoughts and really understand the communication. Find those people you love that you do trust, whether it be a mother, whether it be a father, whether it be a friend, or whether it be someone close to you that could really give you a way to see this reflection in a very honest way.
Okay.
So that you can begin to allow these things to get out. Go jogging. You need to get these things out of you before they continue to plant seeds and start to germinate and start to take root.
Okay.
Because the outcome is not looking good.
Okay.
I will tell you that. Now, we know that everyone operates in free will.
Right.
But I will tell you energetically, if you don't do something to change your course of where you are, it's really going to take you to a place that you don't want to be. That's real talk.
Are you talking about my anger?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. And
all
when
right.
I
Thank
say
you very
take
much.
You to a place that you don't want to be, you're looking at between 2 to 4 months. So I would really strongly suggest, it's a lot of holistic things going on in your area, that you look for someone that you can be up close and personal that can help you work through these things, okay? So peace and love to you.
4 months to get it over with, or that's how long I'm going to be in trouble?
If you don't do anything about this, you will see these seeds start to manifest themselves very quickly here.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Peace and love.
You're welcome. Peace and love.
All right. All right, you guys, 12 minutes left to go in the forum. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 414, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Michelle from Milwaukee. How you doing?
I'm good, Michelle from Milwaukee.
I'm going to make it real quick because I know people are trying to get in. I had a reading from Brother Bela. And he explained to me that my problem is I try to do stuff too excellently or whatever just to let it go. So I'm going to crash and burn. And sure enough, mm-hmm. I'm in school for law, and I'm trying to – I write a brief, and I leave it alone, and I'm trying to meditate, and then I go right back to that same brief and try to make it better and try to make it, you know, better again. And I'm almost like I'm obsessed with this, and I need some help because I'm doing breathing exercises, I'm exercising, I'm dealing with a physical disability, I need help.
Yeah. It's a lot going on, huh?
Yeah, it is. But I got to do it because I got my work I got to do.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, we have about 11 minutes. If you want to give her a taste of that really quick, Brother Rob, give her, we can do that.
I'm actually one question, and I want you to just labor on it for a second. What are you trying to prove? and who you're trying to prove it to?
I'm trying to get through law school. I'm doing pretty good. And
no, What are you trying to prove? I'm just trying to finish.
That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to prove nothing, except just I want to finish. I don't know why I keep going over this stuff. I think it's because I just feel like it could be said differently or better. Maybe I can win the case if I said that instead of this. Keep thinking
That's what I'm asking you a question, but you're not listening to the question. There's something that you're trying to prove, and it has nothing to do with the paper you're writing.
I don't know what I'm trying to prove, because I don't have nobody, you know, I'm trying to impress or nothing. So I'm single. I don't have no children. I'm not involved. So I don't know.
That doesn't mean that you're not, you know, lots of times we have a track record from our past that goes all the way back to our family, all the way back from them, where we're trying to achieve something or trying to prove something that we, you know, may think we need to have approved based upon where we came from. And so that will make us be like, you know, do like extra stuff or go above and beyond. And sometimes it gets to the point where it can become obsessive when we're trying to prove something, because it's like locked into our consciousness, where we constantly feel like we got to do above and beyond, so we just don't let our real work come out.
Okay.
And sometimes it's subconscious. Sometimes it's subconscious. But what I hear from you is that there's something you're trying to prove, and that's the reason why nothing is not good enough. You do it, and you go back and you want to do it again, because there's something that you're trying to prove. Now, what it is, I don't know. Maybe Ms. Blue could help you with that, but I would suggest that you search for what that is, and when you find out what that is, you're going to be able to start dealing with not being obsessed with the idea of, doing something 100 times over and over again, because that is at the root of it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's what I'll say first. I want to say to you, yes, you said you had a reading with Brother Bilal, the soul alignment reading. And I know, because I've gotten everyone's feedback who's had that, so I know you got a lot of work to do. Here's a couple of things. I can certainly appreciate, and I know everyone out there who's been in school and understand the type of pressure that puts on you, because it is a lot of pressure. It is. And so I can definitely appreciate that. Here's the number one thing that I will say to you, and Brother Rob Giza, I'm right there with him where he is when he says, what is it you're trying to prove? Energetically, this is something that started with you when you were about, I'm going to say about 12 or 13 years old. This is when this first came into major play for you. And what you're trying to prove is that you can stand your ground. That's what you've always tried to prove, that you can stand your ground. Does that seem about right?
That's correct.
Yeah, you're trying to prove that you can stand your ground. So here, I want you to hear this, because that's where Brother Rob Giver was leading you to find out what is it that you're trying to prove, because your energy shows that you're trying to prove something. What you're trying to prove is that you can stand your ground, because when you were about 12 and 13 years old, it was hard for you to stand your ground. And so you had to kind of do what everybody else wanted you to do, but deep down inside, you wanted to say, you know what, forget all of y'all. This is what I want to do. I can stand my ground here. So now that you're grown and you're able to stand your ground, you're fighting a fight, but there's absolutely nobody there to fight.
Exactly.
You know, it's almost like swinging in the wind. You know how, you know, when we were kids and people say, let me go, and they swing in their arms and you really let the person go and they just sitting there swinging?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what you're doing. So here's what Spirit is saying that you need. And you have to find time for this inside of your day, Michelle. And once you do this, everything else will open itself up, and you'll be able to do all the things that you need to do. Your personal work, your spiritual work, everything that you need to do will fall into place for you. And you need rest and rejuvenation. That's what Spirit says. That's what you need in order for you to make a shift. I cannot tell you, Michelle, I do readings all day, every day. How many people would love for me to say, you know what your main work is? Get some rest and rejuvenate.
I will do.
That is what's going to free for you. See, because whenever you can get yourself in the pause, when you can catch that rhythm in between the beats, that's where the magic happens. That's where all of the internal things begin to come online for you. That's where the clear vision comes in. That's where you can begin to open yourself up to spirit and receive spirit. That's even where you can see the reflection of your energy, your work, and your light. You can't see anything now. You're in the dark, and you're fighting in the dark. So rest and rejuvenation for you.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
All
you
right.
Too.
You too. Peace and love to you. Peace and love. All right, you guys, listen up. We have 5 minutes left to go. 646-652-2711. Okay. Okay, I see you out there. Someone just sent me a beautiful whisper. I will do that. 646-652-2727. I can't even talk. 646-652-2711 is the number to call for the remix. Make sure that you get online so that you can hear the after hours, because we will be going into the after hours for the show tonight. And once we do that, once we get into the after hours, we'll continue. We're live here with Brother Ra Giva, and boy, are we having an amazing share here tonight. And definitely, if you guys want to reach out to Brother Ra Giva so you can find out about his coaching program, of him coaching brothers and sisters from all walks of life all over the world, email him, fatherragiva@gmail.com, or you can call him so that you can set up your own one-on-one personal coaching session, 1-877-229-8800 is the number for Brother Ra Giva. For the rest of you, we're getting ready to go into the after hours, you guys. How cool is that? And we're going to go into the after hours with you guys. And for the rest of you, download, download, download. If you like the show, don't forget to like it. If you love it, I want you to love it. Leave a message here. Leave a message on Facebook. Leave a message on iTunes. Let us know that you love the show. Leave a comment as well. For the rest of you, we will see you back on Sunday night. I'm going to be doing Aura Jan, doing a whole series on the origin, because the time is here. And so it's going to be a great share on Sunday night. You definitely don't want to miss that. I want to send my love and light to all of you. Much love and respect, warm spirit, and to all you guys out there listening all over. Brother Ra Giva, you ready to go into the after hours on the remix?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right, you guys, you know, it's always a great share when we're here. I look forward to connecting with all of you guys and seeing you on Sunday night and connecting with you. Send us an email. We'd love to hear from you and hear your thoughts about the show tonight, you guys. Much love to everyone out there. And we're just gonna keep going, you guys, because that's what we do. We're going to go in the after hours, play a little bit of this. Let me have you go ahead. We have 2 minutes left, and Brother Ra Giva, you can kind of give some words out to everyone before we get ready to go into the after hours.
Well, I just want to say this, you know, having a certain amount of knowledge is good, but if it's not in alignment with what's in your heart, it's not going to fulfill you. So we seek knowledge to bring about the fulfillment of our life so we can live it and then we can share our happy and fulfilled life with others. Don't be afraid to go after what's in your heart. Don't let people trick you and fool you into believing that what's in your heart is not good. What's in your heart is the only thing actually that's really good for you. What's in your heart may not fulfill nobody else because it's not designed to fulfill others. It's designed to fulfill you first.
Yeah.
Go to your heart, submit to it, and it's going to open up wonders for you.
All right, you guys, you heard it. Brother Ra Giva.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stop! It's the remix!
This is Blue Raspberry Wind, and you are live in the remix.
Hey, yeah!
All right, you guys.
you guys. We're about to go to the after hours. Are you coming? Are you going to be there? if you're not able to catch the show in the after hours, just, you know, download. You know what to do. It's been a great share here. I look forward to connecting with you guys on Twitter, on Facebook, and, you know, all those great places as we continue. I see that there's many, many hands up, and we're going to be getting to all of your calls here as we continue right here live in the remix. I want to send peace, love, and blessings to each and every one of you out there. May you continue in love, light, and healing, and, you know, love somebody, because at the end of the day, the only thing that is real is love. And so we're going to keep going, you guys, so. Here we go. We're about to be in the after hours right now, like in 11 seconds, like in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're about to be in the after hours. So we're going to go to the next caller that's on the line. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 909. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 909? Okay, we can't hear 909. We'll come back. Calling in, it looks like, from area code. Wow. Area code 843. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes,
can
you hear me? On the line, please. Yes, we can.
Yes, this is Jay calling back. And things are wonderful. I have received help from Brother Bala and Raw Giver.
Mm-hmm.
And it has really put me in the place that I need to be in order for me to express myself freely. And I just have the deepest gratitude for the remix. I mean, I love you all. This work that I'm doing I don't know how to explain it, except I'm sure everybody already knows. I mean, I couldn't be the same person that I had been my whole life anymore. And Raghava is the man who can really help open doors for people with regards
beautiful.
To that. Freedom of expression. Freedom
beautiful.
Of expression. I mean, I stuttered my whole life, and
mm-hmm.
when I was talking to Brother Bala, he helped me. Well, it took both of them, but he helped open the door, and then and then Rod Kiva led me through it. And I'm just excited about where things are going to go for me now that I've come beyond the fear of being a deadbeat dad, being able to look into the mirror and not be afraid anymore. I mean, I've even been grappling with bipolar disorder for the past 13 years, and
mm-hmm.
this last episode that I had was remarkable, because usually what happens when I go into a manic episode is I can't pull myself back. However, this last time, I saw what was going on. I said, okay, now I see. I have to keep a certain kind of people around me in order to be level. But when I'm out in the world trying to be myself, but having to fit into this false artificial scheme of things that isn't real, you know, I fall flat on my face.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to do that anymore. I mean, I don't have to go there anymore. I believe that this whole process, you know, has brought me out of that mindset, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just feeling wonderful. I don't know. I mean, I have to thank, like I say, I have to give special thanks to Roger.
Beautiful.
I appreciate that, brother. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I'm not giving a commercial right now. I'm giving the true fact of what really opened the portal in my head.
Right.
Is when Raghiva was discussing the payment for his services. I would like to ask, Raghiva, is it okay if I tell them what you said and how it affected me?
You can, but you know, it's private, but you can.
Yeah, okay. So basically, he asked me how much I could afford. And then he asked me how much I think it's worth. And then he asked me how much I think I can afford. And those two questions juxtapose in my head in such a way that this is a solid, decent businessman. Instead of just putting out a price and saying, well, if you can't afford that, then this is, you're not going to get the service. But this man is meeting you halfway, and it's just, I don't want to just keep talking because you got other people to call, and you know, I think I said my piece. But this is wonderful. This is wonderful. It's wonderful.
Thank you, brother.
It's wonderful.
Beautiful. Well,
I would suggest anybody. I mean, and especially with regards to this bipolar situation, I would suggest anybody who needs help to seek it. I mean, you know, because the help I was seeking from the doctors, that wasn't really help. You know, I mean, it really wasn't help.
Right.
They just put you on drugs and they don't really get into why you are this way. And I mean, I mean, they give some people psychotherapy, but they usually don't even put you in through psychotherapy. They just give you the drugs. And they don't get to the root cause. They don't get to the root cause of why.
And you know, that is so true. And one of the things, because your call is breaking up a little bit, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that very personal and heartfelt information with us, too. So that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Peace and love to you. Peace and love.
Love you.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. So glad
yes,
to hear that. Always good to hear that, that good people are coming on, yourself and Brother Bilal, and just really helping. That's what it's all about. And
it really is.
Yes. We're going to go on and go to the next caller calling in from area code 267. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 267? Yeah, we're going to go to the next caller. It looks like we can't hear 267. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 330. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 330. Let's see. Calling in from area code 617. You're live in the remix. 617?
Peace. Hello?
Peace and greetings. Yes, who's on the line, please?
Manny, calling from Boston.
Danny?
Yes,
Danny calling from Boston.
Yes.
Greetings to you, Danny.
Manny, not Danny.
Oh,
Manny.
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 Like
yes.
Manny Fresh. Like Manny
yes.
Fresh?
Yes, yes. My question is, how do you distinguish the heart from the mind? Like, me with I could say I'm in love with a feminine energy, but am I in love with her through the mind or through the heart? How am I going to be able to distinguish that? Is it the mind creating this certain female I want, or is it the heart that's filling this female?
Well, here's what you could do. You could look at whether or not if you have a vision in your head of what a woman is supposed to look like, and if if you have a vision in your head of what a woman is supposed to look like, how she's supposed to behave and all that stuff, then you can know that's your mind. Because your heart don't operate like that.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart is looking for something that you can't see with your eyes. Your heart is looking for something you're going to hear with your ears. So what we tend to do as men, we look at, you know, we look at physical things that really catch our attention. And I remember my first marriage, I was so in love with the, you know, the illusion of what I thought a woman was supposed to be and how she was supposed to act that, you know, my first wife, I mean, she took me to school. She took me to school on so many different ways. And the reason why she took me to school and ended up almost having me killing me by putting poison in my food, because I did not see the reality. I was so caught up in what I believe what was supposed to be a good woman and how a good woman was supposed to do. So she did a lot of those things, and what it did was I got caught up in the illusion that I couldn't see the reality. So know that the heart does not premeditate anything. Everything that you're premeditating, that's mine.
All right.
You get what I'm saying?
So you
can distinguish it by that. Anything you're premeditating, that's mine. Anything that you're doing just straight off of spirit, you know, you're not thinking about it. You know, you're giving from your heart. You know, you're saying things from your heart. What I mean by that, anytime I say you're saying things from your heart, you're saying things without premeditating. You're going natural.
Mm-hmm.
That's the heart. Natural, no premeditation. Everything that's premeditated, that's the mind.
All right.
All right.
Did that help in it?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
All right. Manny, I love your question. I think it's a beautiful one. Here's one of the things, though. I will tell you on a personal level, and I'll just say this. I just have a problem, and I don't know, maybe I'm the only sister like this. When men refer to women as female, that sounds so impersonal. And you said, how do I know if I love this female? That sounds like some shit that needs to be in an aquarium or underneath a microscope or something, you know?
Yes.
I'm in love with some feminine energy, and I just want to know if I really love this female. Like, it's almost, I don't know, I cringe when I hear that because it sounds like the male part is very loud. Female. You know, do I love this female? You know, I don't know. That's crazy. But here's a couple of things that I want to say to you when it comes to matters of the heart. You know, and just like Brother Rob Givas said, you know, we have these visions of what we think love is. And sisters have them too, just as well as brothers. We both have them, sisters and brothers. And some of it is from the heart, you know, in most cases. And a lot of it is based upon things that we've been indoctrinated into in society, things that we've seen with our family. And I'm getting a very bad echo, so I don't know who has me on speakerphone, but we want to take that off. But we start to get all of these illusions about what we think love is. And there really is no real wrong or right way to say that, because it's going to be different for each of us as individual people.
Right.
But if you want
right.
to know, from me, how the mind and the heart separates each other, is there's an exercise, and I give this out a lot, Manny, is that you have to begin to start listening to what your spirit is telling you and not necessarily what your mind is telling you. The mind is sort of the aftermath of how that interpretation comes out. But here's something that can really help you get in touch with what I like to call your higher self, which comes in through the heart. This is something that all the mystics and all the great teachers before us, the masters will tell you, is that place where you connect with that energy of your higher self, where the physical and the spiritual world both meet together, is through the portal in the heart. So here's what you can do. You tell yourself an absolute truth about yourself. So something that's true for Manny that has nothing to do with anybody else, but this is only about you. So an example of that would be if I were to tell an absolute truth about me, Miss Blue, a truth is I love Godiva.
Godiva chocolate, I love it. Godiva ice cream, I love it. That's an absolute truth for me. And I know it's a truth, not because my mind is telling me it's true, but because of how my body responds to that. The body is responding from your higher self. That's a truth for me. And the second thing is, how do I know a lie? So you do the same thing. You give yourself a truth, you tell it to yourself, and you feel and listen to how your body is responding. Wait about 2 or 3 minutes, and then tell yourself an absolute lie. An absolute lie for me is I hate water. That's a lie. I love water. I love to drink water. I love to take baths. I love to take showers. I love to be in water. I just like to be wet. Well, let me curb that. Well, we're in the after hours. But just the whole thing about being wet. I love that. I love water. And I know that's true for me, not because of what my mind says, but how my body is responding to that. And so if you want to question that, this is sort of a little thing that you can do with yourself, a little game that you guys can do with yourself. And over time, you will start to know and be able to understand what our ancestors knew, is that true hearing comes in through the heart and not the mind, because you will feel it in your body. And when you get struck by what is true for you, you're going to feel that. People say, oh, that touched my heart. That's where that saying comes from, because that's the energy that is flowing through your body, the life force energy, the chi, the kundalini, that energy that's flowing through you. So when you begin to look at this woman, this sister, the person you love, and you can listen to what your body is telling you, I'm not talking about your penis, your body, then you truly will know the difference between what is love for you and what your mind is just telling you at the time. So that's how you tell the difference.
I always feel like I get a certain sensation through my heart chakra when she's around.
Okay. So there you go. So then the next question for you would be, Manny, because we do have to move on, then what is it that you're questioning about this love? You're questioning it, and I already know what it is. So if you want Ms. Blue to go ahead and do the psychic thing, I can get this over with real quick, fast, and in a hurry. Here's your concern. You're not questioning whether or not, you love her, but you're questioning whether she loves you the same way that you're willing to be committed to her.
That's the answer
to the question is, no, she doesn't love you the way you love her. Does she care about you? Yes. Is it the same? No. Can it change? Everybody is operating in free will. So how you stay and protect yourself in this situation is you love unconditionally, because you know deep down inside somewhere you need to have this experience. And when it's time for you not to have this experience anymore, then you will come to another conclusion about what this love means to you.
That would make sense. Because that's what I've been dealing with, just been having unconditional love towards her, no matter what.
That's right.
She's currently, when I met her, she was with another person, so.
Yeah.
It's not like I don't know that she's already with someone else. The love I have for her, I kind of sense she doesn't have the same for me.
She doesn't have the same degree of love, but she cares for you deeply.
Yes, she does.
She does. And I truly believe it's the experience that you need to have. I really do believe that this is an experience you need to have. And when that changes for you, it doesn't ever mean you have to stop loving the person. It doesn't mean that. It just means that love has just shifted its energy. And you're starting to feel that shift now. Miss Blue would never tell you to stop loving anybody. I'm a lover. I love to love. And so I'm not going to tell anyone not to love anybody. But I will tell you spiritually what I pick up, and it's what you already know. So that was your confirmation.
And can I share some on that? Because I experienced something very similar to that. You know, not necessarily woman with someone else, but loving someone unconditionally, even though they weren't putting that love up, you know, in return. And here's what my experience was, and I feel it's very similar for you, is I wasn't loving myself totally. And by learning to love that person unconditionally, I was finally able to give myself unconditional love. Because I didn't really know I could do it. I didn't know what it looked like. But when I saw how I was giving it to that person, I was then able to then turn around and give it to myself. Unconditionally. Because we find things wrong with ourselves all the time, and we don't. Most people don't know how to love themselves unconditionally, because it's, you know, our ego is always finding something wrong. But from doing that, you learn how to love yourself without any strings, appreciating who you are, and really getting to that. And then what's going to happen is that you will draw into your life someone that's going to give you equal love that you have for yourself. That's all we're getting anyway.
Yes, that definitely makes sense. Because I critique myself a lot. I'm always in a way, I'm always putting myself down.
Yeah. So, so the love that you're giving her is really the love that you that yourself is crying for, and it's showing you if you can give it to her and there's no hope of getting it back, you would damn sure give it to yourself and get it back.
Yep.
All right. There you go, Manny Fresh.
Thank you, Manny, first for the question, brother.
Thank you for the answers.
All
You're
right.
Welcome.
Peace and love to you. Peace and love.
Peace.
All right. Beautiful. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code. Let's see. I'm going to start here because I think we missed some people. Calling in from area code 617. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 617?
Is it just me?
This is me. Who's me?
No, it's still me. That's all I'm saying. It's still me, Manny.
Oh.
Manny Fresh.
Oh, it's still Manny Fresh. All right, Manny. Hold the line, Manny. All right. We're going to go to the next caller. We'll try this. Area code 330. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. Okay, we'll come back. Calling in from area code 323. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 323. All right, if you guys are on mute, we can't hear you. So let's try this one. 770, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hello, greetings. Who's on the line, please?
Hi, this is Lee calling from Atlanta.
Okay, we cannot hear you. Okay, who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Lee calling from Atlanta.
Lee
from Atlanta.
Yes, good
evening. What you got, Lee?
Oh, I just started listening in a little while ago. I'm liking the show, though.
Okay, so do you have a question or something that you're dealing with?
Oh, yeah, a lot. Just have a really stressful family life.
Okay.
But it's
you married? You married? Have children? You married? Have children? You say family life. Describe what you mean, family life.
Yes, married with children. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
And it just didn't turn out the way that I was expecting it to. And something that happened just really threw me off course, and I don't really know if I'll be able to get back on course.
Well, let's be honest. You weren't on course from the very beginning.
I was on course. I mean, I was fully committed. I was on course, and I'm still here. It's just emotionally, I feel cheated.
Well, you know, when your opening statement that you opened up with had all sorts of trepidation in it that gave me the indication that you really weren't on board completely in the beginning. Was there anything that you saw?
Definitely was.
Was there anything that you saw in the beginning that you sort of had hesitations about? Anything?
Not me. My mate.
Was there anything that, did you see anything that gave you any kind of hesitation or doubt in the beginning? Nothing.
Well, I saw things that would have needed to be worked through, but I felt like as long as we were a team, we could work through it.
Okay, so I guess the breakdown was in infidelity? Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you had no indication that in the beginning, that's what you're saying. You're sticking to that story.
No, I didn't have indication that that was going to be a reality in my marriage in the beginning. No. I had indications that there might be problems that we would have to work through, and I was willing to do that.
What kind of problems?
I just
what
wasn't
kind of
expecting.
What kind of problems, though?
Family problems.
Family problems?
Difference in the way we view how to handle family situations.
Okay. So what's been the communication?
Oh, we've communicated on it. I think we've communicated on it a lot. What I'm talking about is emotional and how I feel about it within myself. How I feel about it, I'm still upset about it.
I can understand that. If it was infidelity, I mean, I can understand you're still upset about it. Is this the first time you ever experienced anything like this?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But I wasn't expecting it in my marriage.
Wait, say it again?
No, but I wasn't expecting it in this relationship.
Okay, but the reason why I asked you that question is because I asked you the first few times, and, you know, you're still unable to see it, but I know there's a pattern, right? That's why I asked you that question. So...
Mm-hmm.
If there's a pattern, then that means you have a pattern of not seeing too. What is it you think you don't allow yourself to see, or that you've made it, you know, it's like you don't want to see? Because this is a pattern. That means it is something that you're not seeing. What reality you're afraid to deal with? It's like a reality you're afraid to deal with that keeps popping up.
I don't know about that. Like, I pride myself in not being a fearful person. And I don't feel like it's a pattern that I didn't deal with in the first time. I did. The first time it happened, I dealt with it thoroughly.
Are you aware of all your habits?
All of my habits.
Yeah, you know, are you aware of all your habits? You know, because just in general, do you think are you aware of all your habits?
I try to be. I don't think I can be aware of everything all the time.
None of us are, sister. None of us are aware of all our habits. That's just the thing. When something becomes a habit.
The best of my ability.
Right. Well, but the whole idea of a habit is that when it becomes a habit, it usually gets outside of our consciousness. It becomes subconscious. We do it without even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm looking for is that there is, of course, if this is a repeated thing, there is some sort of habit that you are repeating as it relates to, you know, in the getting together in relationships. There's something that you're not allowing yourself to see. Now, I don't know exactly what that is. It would probably take me, you know, a few minutes to really get into what's at the root of it. Because if this is happening, if this is the second time it's happened or maybe the third time it's happened, there's something that you're bringing to the table that's recreating this. What we tend to think is that other people are doing it. Like you tend to think that the guy is doing it to you, but it's actually something that you're bringing to the table that's causing it to manifest in your relationships, because it's something that is trying to get you to see about yourself. So the first thing it would take me to is how true are you to you?
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, throughout your life, how true have you been to you? How loyal have you been to you?
because these are acts of betrayal, which manifest mm-hmm. as a result of us betraying ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we betray ourselves because we see something, but we want something so bad that we ignore it to have it and then pay for mm-hmm. it later. You get what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Ms. Blue, maybe you have something to add on that, because that's what I'm seeing, you know, the
yeah.
cycle of betrayal, but the betrayal is with self.
Mm-hmm.
Here is one of the things, and I wanna give you, and thank you for that, Brother Ron, but I wanna give you another angle of light to take a look at this.
Okay.
And get to the root cause.
Okay.
And hold on a second, you guys. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Let's get to the root cause. The root cause of what's really going on, and as I energetically and just kind of spiritually go in and take a look at this situation, there really isn't anything that you did wrong, per se. I don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I see. I see two people who love each other greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And your husband still does love you greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some mistakes made. And I think anybody who's been in a relationship know that mistakes happen in a relationship. We all have different ways that we express ourselves and how we get out things. The
mm-hmm.
number one thing that your pattern, and this is what Brother Rob Giver was talking about, your pattern
mm-hmm.
here, what's at the root cause of this for you is growth. For you,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
see growth one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
For you, you want things to be constant. You want them to stay the same, and you don't want them to change. It's almost like pulling on a rubber band. You don't want to pull. So if one side is pulling on that rubber band and they let it go, it's going to snap back even harder. And so that's where your pattern is for you, is that it's difficult for you to grow. It's almost loving something so much that you don't want it to change. But we know that there's a spring, summer. There's all kinds of seasons.
That's really not my personality. Can you be more specific? Like, grow how?
Yeah, meaning that, honey, our life is wonderful, and I want it to stay wonderful. Meaning, I want it to stay the way it is. Not with any ill intentions. Not that you don't grow, because you do grow. But you see growth one-sidedness.
Okay,
growth
so
is,
you're saying
growth,
that. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
Are you saying that
growth,
I view the infidelity as a growth, as growth in our relationship?
No.
Okay.
Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying
mm-hmm.
that this is growth for your relationship. This is growth. Is it a growth that anybody would choose? Hell no. I know I wouldn't choose it.
And
you understand
I really
what I'm
just,
saying?
Yes. Okay. So
you understand what I'm saying?
I'm trying to, because I feel like I do grow, and I've been growing with him, and I've been
growing, and you've been very patient with him. You've been all of that, but he's also been very patient with you too.
But
and the number one thing that you
mm-hmm.
don't like is
mm-hmm.
conflict, and you don't like to be defeated. You like to win. And
I
this
like
is
to
a
be
situation.
In the back by my mate, and I feel deeply
and that's
betrayed.
True. You were betrayed, and you were stabbed in the back. You're absolutely 100% right. You have every right to be angry. You have every right to be upset. You have every right to say that this was not called for. You have every right to say that. I'm not trying to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to get you to see, because you want to save
okay.
your marriage. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And in order for you to save your marriage,
mm-hmm.
You do. Because if you didn't, you would have been gone. Trust me. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I'm not asking a question that I know the answer to. No one does. Mm-hmm. When your mind is made up and you're ready to go, there is nothing on this planet that will stop you. Trust and believe that. You know yourself. You're pretty assertive, sister. When you say you're going to do something, oh, you're going to do it.
Right. And so that's the other thing. I don't know if I can deal with a person who's saying they're going to do something and then they can't follow through.
Of course
I feel
you
like
can.
I cannot trust
yes,
him.
You can.
I can't see how he did that. I can't
it's
understand
take
how he did
long,
that with the person
long,
that he did it with.
That's
and
right.
I mean,
and
I have no respect for that girl or that type of person.
That's right. But understand, I want you to remove her out of the situation. Remove her. Because
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
not you expected to have this level of loyalty. It's your man. Where that loyalty should came from. So, are you really going to ever get over it? Probably not. Is it always going to be in the back of your mind? Probably. The question is, how strong is your love? Because love conquers all. Love conquers all.
My love for my children is very strong.
No, but we know children don't keep people together, or otherwise we would never have divorced parents.
I'm starting to doubt that. I'm really starting to doubt
Children don't keep people together. We would never have single parents if that was the case. Children never have and never will keep people together. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It doesn't. And you never do it for the children. Never. If you're willing to make that kind of sacrifice, then we don't need to have this conversation. You need to just scratch everything and say, I'm in this for my damn children, and I'm going to just keep rolling with it.
I'm trying to find myself, my way back to the way I felt about him and my marriage before.
But guess what? That way is over. It's just like yesterday. You understand? You can't go back to yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't. You can't ever go back. I don't care how wonderful yesterday was. You're not going back to it. So you're at a crossroads where you are going to have to make a decision. But that decision doesn't need to be based upon, and here's something I want to give you something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the only thing that your husband has done that really has taken you over the edge?
Mm. No. Mm-mm.
So is it a long list of things that he's done that's taken you over the edge?
No, but this is the core thing. Like, if this wasn't over the edge.
But listen to what I'm saying. Is this the thing that has taken you over the edge with your husband?
Yes. If this wasn't there.
Okay. If this wasn't there, you would be good. It would still be
right.
Nice to have any relationship to work on, but you would be good. So now
right.
I'm going to ask you, as a famous song, where is the love? So what happens to all the good shit that he's done? So you telling me that when a person comes in your life and they make a mistake, that's it with you?
This is more than a mistake.
No. I understand. Trust me, I understand the severity. And I will say this. I don't know how comfortable or what you feel about this. Is there a child involved?
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
You sure about that?
On the other side?
I'm asking, yeah.
Oh, no, there's not.
Okay.
Well, that I know of.
Okay. So let me ask you, pay me no mind, and my mind is all over the place. Are you pregnant?
No. Mm-mm. I just had a baby.
Okay, maybe that's it, because somebody, I see a baby. I'm trying to figure out
what
the
baby is.
Okay, I see a baby. Boy. Okay, we're not going to go there. If you just had a baby, it's you. We'll
yeah,
trust that. It's
okay.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's what I want to ask you then.
What about all the good things he's done? So you're telling me that that's how life is for you. You make a mistake, and we're not talking about...
What he did and how he did it, oh, my God.
Trust me, Miss Blue...
This is Herculean betrayal. I mean,
yes,
to the nth degree.
It is. And so let me ask you a question. Did you ask him why?
Yes, I did.
And what did he tell you?
He explained, well, he broke. He had a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, a lot of things he wouldn't deal with. And she was there, and he succumbed. That's what he said. But I think he did a lot of chasing.
You said what now?
I think that he chased her. I think that he caused the whole situation.
Okay, so then leave him. If you think that what he told you was a lie and you think he pursued her and he is this low-down, dirty dog, leave him. There's your answer. Leave him then. If that's what you truly believe, leave him. Why would you even want your kids to be around a low-down, dirty dog? If you are 100% convinced that...
Wait a minute. That doesn't mean that he's not a good father.
I beg to differ. Because if he's able to do that to you, their mother, then what kind of message is he teaching them? That this is the way you're supposed to be as a father. So you telling me you're willing to compromise your children?
I'm telling you, I'm not willing to expose them to a stranger that might be a child molester or worse.
Your only fear is that you're going to leave and that you're so horrible at picking men that the next man you get may be a child molester.
No, what I'm saying is that my children still deserve to have a father. That's
of
all, their
they
father.
Do. And why can't
they
why
can
fathers?
And
hold on a second. Hold on a second. Fathers from anywhere in the world. A father does not have to live in the house with you to father his children.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that have to do with you and him in a relationship? Because I know fathers who have fathered children. My own children's father has fathered them from a distance.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Okay, so
and
what
then,
does you staying with him have to do with being a father?
I'm just saying I would not expose them to another male. If I left him,
why
I would
not?
Have to be alone.
If
I just wouldn't trust
him,
it. I just don't trust it.
You don't trust men?
No.
Or you don't trust yourself?
Well, I would have to say I don't trust myself because the way that our relationship was, I did not see this coming.
Okay, so hold on. So because you didn't see this coming, You don't trust yourself. Since you don't trust, okay, so that's fine. I'm agreeing with you. But since you don't trust yourself, maybe you should let him raise the kids.
Oh, I don't trust myself to be a mother, and I wouldn't put my children with another woman. I know that I would be the best woman to raise them.
Do you hear?
I wouldn't trust myself to pick another man and have in the house with my children.
Okay,
that's
well
not
then
the same thing.
Okay, well, I'm glad you made that clear. And what I'm saying to you is that because you're trying, this is what you're trying to do to yourself, and I'm just not going to allow you to do it. To say that you're so jacked up that you picked this man and you would have never seen this shit coming, and because he did this, you can't ever trust another man again, which means if you don't trust men, then you have to trust women. Just saying, putting it out there. that you'll never trust another man again. And you won't have them around your children because they might, oh my goodness, they could be child molesters because you are just so off in what you believe about yourself. So here's the advice I'm going to give you. And I'm giving advice tonight because we're doing a little bit of coaching. So a little bit of psycho, sexy, cool mixed in with some coaching. Don't make no decisions right now because you're still in a sense of denial about what you really want to do. And anything that you're doing right now is going to be twisted, to say the least. give yourself a chance to recognize that you are not in control of other people. Because really what you're saying is, how dare you do this to me? And I would be saying it too. And then second, how come I didn't know this shit was going on? That's what you're really mad about. That how did you do this and I didn't see this shit coming? That's what's hitting you.
The way that he did it.
Yeah, the way.
And who he did it with is just gross.
Would it have made a difference if it was somebody you didn't know?
If it was a better woman.
No.
If it was a better woman.
This is never about the woman. It's never about the woman.
Would have been better.
Never.
Better woman.
There's no such thing as a better woman. They both did this fucked up shit together. How about if he was a better man, you wouldn't be having this conversation?
I agree. And still, he should have chose a better woman. He went to the bargain basement.
Okay. He went to the bargain basement, and what does that say about you?
Nothing. It doesn't say anything about
me.
He went crazy.
He has to say, well, then why are you with a crazy man? Move on.
Well, people
why?
Do snap. People do get under pressure and they do snap.
They sure do. They really do. And if that is the case, then you need to take some time and make some very sound decisions, not based upon that you felt like he picked a woman who wasn't worthy. Because you would still be having this conversation if it was damn J-Lo or goddamn, what's the girl's name, Holly Berry or one of them. You would feel worse.
Uh-huh.
So stop making it about all of these frivolous things. Get down to the matters of the heart. Stop trying to control the situation and really see what needs to be done here that's best for yourself and also best for your children.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I would say don't
okay,
make no decisions
you.
Right away, because right now you're still
mm-hmm.
in the place of pain. All right? So peace and love
right.
to you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. It's always difficult when you're in a relationship and some of these things happen. But one of the things that I would say is that sometimes we have to give ourselves permission to just be angry and get the shit out of our system and then begin to try to move forward from there. So one of the things I want to tell you guys, oh, my goodness, Brother Ra Giver's call dropped, and so he's not on the line. So I just want to close out the show. It's been an amazing show with the Brother Ra Giver here. Don't forget you can reach out to him. And call Brother Hurrah Giver at area code 877-229-8880. That's how you can reach out to him. And then also you can email him by emailing him at fatherrahgiver@gmail.com. It's been an amazing chair here today, doing a lot of the double-edged sword of consciousness. And recognizing the lightning power of your spirit. So I wish everyone peace and love to all of you out there. Don't forget to download the show. If you like this show, I want you to like it. And if you love it, I want you to love it. And leave a comment. We'd love to hear your thoughts. I'll see you guys on Sunday night. You guys, it's been an amazing share. It's always fun. It's always amazing in the remix. So peace and love to all of you guys. And until Sunday night, you know, love somebody. And much love, warm spirit. Peace and love to you guys. See you on Sunday night. And, yeah, that's what we'll do. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. All right? Peace. Good night, everybody. See you on Sunday night. Peace and love.